Hi, this is Jackie with Panama Relocation Tours. I want to thank you for calling in to our conference call tonight. So I've been doing these conference calls since about 2010. We do one at least once a month. We do a conference call to give you an opportunity to ask questions about relocating to and living in Panama. I know it's a big decision to move to another country, especially for some of you that have never lived outside of the country where you live right now. It's a big decision to move to another country. So it's good to have some questions answered before you even make that decision. Just a little bit of background about me. I'm from Texas, and I've been in Panama since about 2010. In Texas, I had this one summer where it was just so hot that I decided I wanted to move someplace where I would never need an air conditioner again. And if I didn't need a heater, that would be even better. If I didn't need either one, if I could just have really good weather. So I put out on a quest to find that place and visited about 10 different countries to find the place that was going to fill the bill for having perfect weather where I could have my windows open and get fresh air every day. I found that in Panama, the little town of Boquete, where I live. And ever since I moved there, I had friends that were saying, well, I'd like to come and see it, and can you show me around and show me everything about Panama and teach me the things that you learned. And so I did one little tour back in 2010 with 8 people, and then I started getting calls from other people saying, hey, my next-door neighbor went on your Panama tour. When are you going to do another one? Do you have a website for that? And, of course, I wasn't even planning to start a tour business when I moved to Panama, but that's just kind of an overview of how I ended up in Panama and how the tour business, Panama Relocation Tours, got started. So since then, we just finished our 117th Panama Relocation Tour. We've helped lots of people get relocated to Panama. And, you know, from the things we've learned ourselves and also things that we've learned from clients that we've helped move to Panama, we've really got it all down to where that you can have a smooth and easy transition. You're not going to have any bumps in the road. You're not going to hit a brick wall anywhere. And we know how to teach you how to make that move to Panama as easy and as stress-free as possible. It all starts with getting a lot of information so that you're well-prepared and well-informed in making that move. And that's what our 6-day, 7-night all-inclusive tour is all about, is to educate you about relocating to Panama and teaching you all the things you need to know so that when you do move there, you don't have a nervous breakdown. It's going to be really easy to make that move. And sometimes even just coming on our tour is a big decision. Should I do it? Should I move to Panama? I don't know. So that's why we do these conference calls, to answer some of your questions in advance, to ease your fears about living in Panama and about relocating to Panama. So I'm going to get started now with the questions. If you have a question for me tonight, all you need to do is press *6, and that will put you in line to ask a question. We already have about 10 or 12, maybe 15 people are in line to ask a question. But if you'll just press *6, I'm going to take these one question at a time, and then we'll go on to the next one. And then I'll do another question, and then we'll move on to the next one. So it's just all going to be in order. So I'm going to start with our very first person, and I believe the name is Barbara. Area code 702. Go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay. My biggest question is, I understand that there's medical insurance, but in Panama, do they have pre-existing penalties, like if you've had cancer in the past or anything like that?
So they do have all of the insurance companies do have clauses in their insurance policy about pre-existing conditions, but many of the companies handle it in a different way. They may exclude it for the first year, and then they'll cover it the second year at 50%. They still won't cover it at 100%, but they'll cover whatever that pre-existing condition is the second year. I know some companies that if you have a pre-existing condition, let's say diabetes or something like that, or high blood pressure, if it's controlled with medication, then they may not even consider that a pre-existing condition. When it comes to cancer, they would certainly consider that a pre-existing condition. But they probably will not cover it the first year, but they'll cover it the second year at 50%.
And if you're in remission over 5 years, is there still a pre-existing condition? Do you know?
I really don't know. Even, you know, if you've had cancer in the past, they would probably consider it pre-existing condition, but I can't tell you, you know, if it's been in remission for 5 years versus 10 years versus 2 years.
Okay.
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. I'll have to wait and see. Is this on the international insurance or regular?
You just know that worst case scenario, they may exclude it the first year and it'll be covered the second year at 50%. That would be the worst case scenario.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. My next caller is, I believe, Dennis.
Hi, it's Denise.
717. Denise, yeah. Okay.
Hi, Denise. Or hi, Jackie. We were on tour 116.
I remember
we loved
your last name, and I wasn't sure if it was the same one or not. Yes.
It was. Well, it looks like we're going to do this. I did have a question. When we were on the bus, we were talking about when you live in the United States, when you turn 65, if you don't sign up for Medicare, that you need to pay a penalty if you do move back to the United States and want to, you know, take advantage of Medicare. And
yes.
I thought you said something about that you, heaven forbid, that you would ever have to move back to the United States, that you still do pay something. I thought it was like $35 a month or something.
Yeah, I turned 65 in 2019, and I had the big decision because I have international health insurance, so it covers me anywhere in the world, including Panama or the United States or Canada or anywhere. And my insurance is really, really good through United Healthcare. It's better than Medicare. But if you don't get Medicare, then you do have, and when you turn 65 and you later decide at 70 or 75 that you want to get Medicare, then you have to pay a penalty, which I believe is equal to 10% for every year that you didn't get it. So the basic Medicare is like $135, $140 a month. And so if you didn't get it for, you know, 5 years, then that would be an additional $100 a month that you would have to pay for Medicare. And I'm not, you know, these are from Texas numbers, so I don't know if the numbers are different from other places. I did talk to a Medicare expert, and that's who gave me that information. So the Medicare expert that I worked with in Texas, she was able to help me get insurance through Medicare because I didn't want to have to pay the penalty. I have no plans to ever move back, but you just never know what the future holds. So I decided to go ahead and get Medicare, and she was able to get me some kind of Medicare insurance that I still have the Part A, Part B, and Part D, and I pay about $40 a month for that because it's through one of the insurance companies that they cover the first $100 a month in it.
Okay, so it was through a Medicare expert, then you're saying?
If you don't get Medicare when you turn 65, then you'll have to pay a penalty, which is equal to 10% for every month that you didn't get it, which can add up real fast.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying you don't pay Medicare like monthly, 100 and whatever it is to have Medicare. You pay $40 monthly.
I just went ahead and said I'd rather pay this every 6 months because I don't like, you know, I just pay them every six months.
But you only pay $40. Okay.
It's $40 a month, but I pay it by the 6 month, every 6 months.
Right. And I think I was just wanting to know who would handle something like that, who you went through to handle that, found that for you. That was that like an insurance specialist, person?
It was a Medicare insurance specialist. That's all they do is Medicare. And she's only for So whatever state you're in, you'd have to go through a Medicare insurance specialist in your state, which can probably find something similar. And it was it's through Aetna, by the way.
Okay, that's all I needed to know.
So I've got international health insurance, and I have Medicare.
Yeah, and that's what we were thinking of doing, taking both. Okay.
Well, but, you know, whenever it comes time to renew my international health insurance, because I have Medicare in the United States, I'm planning in 2020, when it's time to renew my international health insurance, that I may exclude the United States. And it would reduce my premiums a little bit, because there's no need in having my international health insurance and having Medicare, except that, you know, there's some doctors, they won't take new Medicare patients, but I could use my international health insurance and I could still see any doctor I wanted to and go to any hospital I wanted to and just leave Medicare out of it. So, but, you know, it's so cheap for the Medicare at $40 a month, I just decided to go ahead and get it.
Okay. Gotcha. That's what I thought you said, but I just wanted to, I wanted to find out who to contact for that information.
If it was like $100 a month, I would rethink the whole thing. But for $40 a month, I can do that.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Jackie.
Yep. I look forward to seeing you in Panama again soon. my next caller is area code 541. Go right ahead.
Hi, I want to know if you want to come earlier before the tour. Mine's scheduled July. And if I want to come earlier just to check things out, would I fly into David or Panama City? Which would be the best?
You would want to fly into Panama City. Yeah, okay. There are no international flights into David.
Okay. Well, I just looked at the flight today, and it looked like, you know, one or the other. So I didn't know. So I thought that'd be a good question to ask.
No,
because I had no
even
idea.
If it says David, you're going to go through Panama City. It'd make more sense to just go straight to Panama City.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no problem.
Also, the tour starts in Panama City.
Okay, good. All right, no problem. Thank you very much. I'll see you soon.
You're welcome. Bye. By the way, if you have a question for me tonight, all you need to do is press *6, and that'll put you in line to ask your question. Our next caller is area code 541. I believe the name is Robin.
Hi. So I'm curious about the differences in the visas. So if I came as a tourist on a tourist visa and I just wanted to renew it every 6 months, can you do that, or do they have a limit? Like
no,
you leave the country
no, there's no, no, what, if you come on a tourist visa, there's two things. First of all, if you can stay for 6 months and then you have to leave the country for at least 30 days before you can come back, and then you can start your tourist visa all over again, but you'd have to leave for 30 days every 6 months. The other thing on the tourist visa, I'm sure you've heard of all the pensionado discounts that you can get, like 25% off of airfare, 20% off at restaurants, half price at movie theaters. You would not be able to take advantage of any of those things without having a residency visa.
So that sounds like then your recommendation is to do the residency visa.
Absolutely. And it's not that much. You know, for one person, you're looking at about $1,500. And I would say the discounts itself would pay for it within 2 years.
Okay. And how long does it take to get that residency visa?
About 5 to 7 days.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right. Next caller is area code 774.
Hey, good evening, Jackie. How are you today?
Good.
Jackie, I was just wondering, do you have a figure on how much money a couple would need initially when retiring down to Panama, when moving down there, like, you know, taking into account, you know, first month security and visa and any other things that might need to be paid initially? Is there a dollar?
I haven't really, you know, it's kind of a hard number to just throw out as a number and say this is what it's going to be, because some people are going to rent a house, you know, that $600 a month. Some people are going to rent a place that's $2,000 a month. So it depends on, and I do encourage everybody to rent for at least the first 6 months. A year would be even better. So it just depends on how much your rent is going to be. And usually you're going to have a security deposit in the first month's rent. So let's say it's $1,000 a month, which is kind of on the high side for everywhere except Panama City and Coronado, where that's on the low side. So that would be $2,000 just for the security deposit and the first month's rent. And then it also depends on which visa are you going to get. If you're going to get the Pensionado visa, it's one price. If you're going to get the Friendly Nation visa, it's a different price. And are you going to get a car? Are you going to rely on public transportation? If you're going to get a car, I'd say figure $10,000 additional for getting a car. So there's all kinds of different variables, and it just depends on where you're going to move to in Panama and, you know, which visa you're going to get and whether you're going to get a car or not.
All righty. Could you tell me real quick on the Pensionado visa how much that is for a couple?
For a couple, it's $1,700. With some of the, we work with three different attorneys. One of our attorneys, it's $2,400 for a couple to get the Pensionado visa. Another attorney that we work with, it's $1,700 for a couple to get the Pensionado visa. And that includes not just the attorney fees, but also transcription fees and government fees and everything else.
All right. Excellent. Thank you so much.
All right. You're very welcome. By the way, if you have a question tonight, all you need to do is press *6, and I'll be glad to answer your question. Our next caller is area code 204. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. Hi. Okay, so your tour is booked up till December. I've been planning on moving there for years. I've just kind of waited for the door to open, and the door just opened today. So I've been looking on Craigslist to rent a place, like a small house or something. And I don't know if I really trust Craigslist, to be honest, you know, to send money ahead of time.
Oh, like, don't ever send. Never, 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 ever, ever, ever send money ahead of time. And by the way, we just did open up a new tour that's in November 27th through December 4th. So we do have one additional tour available. And you can also get on our backup list. If you click on, if you go to PanamaRelocationTours.com and you click on the Book a Tour page, right underneath the picture of our big yellow bus, there's a little link that says complete this form to get on the backup list. And we'll notify you 1 to 2 months in advance if we get an opening in April or May or June or any of the other months. You just let us know when you'd like to come. But you should not, absolutely do not, don't give anybody on Craigslist or any of the other websites, never send them money in advance. What you're going to need to do is you need to come here and do not send money in advance. Either plan to stay in a hotel or get an Airbnb after you get here. Or, you know, if you go through a company like Airbnb, you're a bit more protected because they vetted the people that are renting out places. And, you know, you've got that middleman that they'll get your money back. But don't do anything through Craigslist. There are situations, unfortunately, everywhere you go, there could be scam artists. People are taking, security deposits from five different people for a particular rental that doesn't even exist.
Mm-hmm. Right. That was my concern. So I'm glad I asked you. That's a good thing to know. Can I ask you one more question while we're here?
Sure, you can get one more.
So I'm a Canadian, and I have I want to bring in more than $10,000. Can I change my Canadian money into American money and bring it across as a $10,000 U.S., or does it have to be in Canadian funds?
That I don't know the answer to. And what you might do instead of bringing the cash along with you is bring about $1,500 to open up a bank account in Panama and then just wire the money whenever you get here. That would be much safer. Okay. Next caller is area code 912. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Jackie. This is Catherine Jackson, and I wanted to ask you, is the water safe in Panama as far as, like, you know, drinking the tap water, or do you recommend the bottled water?
It depends on where you are in Panama. Some areas around the islands, they do have some problems with water. So there I would definitely, any of the island areas, I would recommend that you use bottled water. Most of the other places, the water is safe to drink, and it usually goes through some kind of a filter. Usually the municipal water is going to go into a reserve water tank, and then it'll go from the reserve water tank through a filter to go through your house.
Oh, okay. Is the water okay in Boquete?
Yeah, I drink tap water in Boquete with no problems.
Oh, okay. And so if they're making coffee, it's safe to drink the coffee, which is probably
That's
made
right.
out of the tap water, right?
That's right.
Uh-huh. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. And once again, if you have a question, all you need to do is press star 6 to get in line to ask your question. My next caller is Anastasia. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Jackie. My husband and I are on the June 5th trip and looking forward to it. One of my questions was just answered. I was wondering how much cash you can legally take with you, and I understand it's $10,000.
I believe it is $10,000, but you want to make sure you disclose it. There'll be a form that you fill out on the airplane before you land, and
right.
it'll ask, you know, do you have $10,000? Do you have more than $10,000 with you? So you could bring more. You just want to disclose it. But
okay.
it's actually better to just open up a Panama bank account, which will take about $1,500, and then wire that money into Panama.
I got that. Which makes so much more sense because we are planning on doing this, and I knew we needed $1,500.
The other thing that you can do, and this is the cheapest way to do it, is once you open up a Panama bank account, if you have a U.S. bank account, you can actually deposit a check from a U.S. bank into your Panama bank account up to $3,000 per month, and there's no fee for that at all, so you can avoid the wire fees. So that's a cheap and easy way to move money into your Panama bank account.
That's excellent. And what the other question I had about the bank account, if we opened it when we're there, we're going to stay an extra 2 weeks and look around and hopefully rent something where we're going to stay for a year when
mm-hmm.
we come back down. Can we write checks directly from the new account we open in Panama while we are there if need be?
I would not recommend getting a checking account. It's better to get a savings account in Panama because with a savings account, you're going to earn interest on it, 1.75 to 2% interest on your money, whereas a checking account, you don't. With a savings account, they're going to give you a debit card that you can use for making purchases or for getting cash out of an ATM machine as you need it.
Okay, and how about if we found a place and we're going to rent it, how would we put the deposit down?
So the way that you make a deposit down, let's say you already have your Panama bank account opened up, all you have to do is you can actually, it's a crazy thing, but in Panama, landlords usually give you their bank account number. Say, I'm a global bank number 123456. So they'll give you their bank account number. And then you've got two ways you can do it. From your Panama bank account, you can easily log in and move money, and it's all in English, move money from your account over to your landlord's account right online, or you could pull out cash and then walk into the bank where your landlord has an account and just make a cash deposit, and you'd get a receipt, of course.
Wow. Okay. That's very helpful. I'm looking forward to meeting you in June.
I look forward to meeting you, too. Thank you.
All right.
Next caller is area code 734. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Lisa and Brian, and we're signed up for your January 8th, 2021 tour.
Excellent. I look forward to meeting you.
We do too. I have a couple questions, but I'll ask just this one tonight. Long-term care facilities in Panama, are they similar to the U.S.? Do they have assisted living facilities?
Not like the U.S., but they do have some assisted living facilities. There's not very many. There's, I think, 3 in Chiriquí province where I live. There's quite a few in Panama City. There's some in the Coronado area, and there's one in the Zora. So they're not prevalent, like on every corner, like they are in the United States, but they do have some. The big difference is the cost. I know that the cost for one in David is about $800 to $1,000 a month, which includes food and everything. And then there's a new one that just opened up in Panama City. The doctor that owns it sent me information about it. It is a private room, includes all your food and everything for $1,500 a month.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, hopefully that's a long time coming for us, but we just are
curious,
thinking ahead.
Right. Well, the other thing that's available in Panama is home health care. If you'd rather stay in your home, you can reduce your cost by having a nurse or nurse practitioner come to your house every day, or even a live-in nurse, or, you know, 3 times a week or something like that, just to help with some basic things.
Okay. Well, thank you. We'll see you in 2021.
Yep. All right. See you in about a year. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Let's see. Next caller is area code 734 again. No? Okay, next caller is area code 910. Go right ahead.
Hello, Jackie. This is Eric. Good to hear from you again.
Hi, Eric. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, I was just, I decided to join you guys because I heard the question from the previous speaker about Medicare, and I'm a Medicare specialist in North Carolina. I actually work for an insurance company, but I work with Medicare recipients, and I just want to make some clarification here. And I don't know if that person's still online. So, and you might use it for the future questions because, you know, I'm hearing that all the time when people keep asking. So basically what happens, if you're on a Medicare, if you don't sign up on time, you do have penalty on a Part B, because Part A is your entitlement, and you don't pay for it. So you just have to pay for the Part B if you sign up later in life, and then you're going to have 6 months. You cannot enter and get Part B, but after that, you do get it. My understanding is whatever you got in Texas there, they probably sign you up for Medicare Advantage plan, which costs you $40 or $44. But still, you have to pay for the Part B every month. So the Part B money uses...
No, I didn't. It's not an advantage plan that I have, and I don't... the $40 that I pay, it includes everything. Yeah, it includes the Part A, the Part B, and the Part D.
That's
my little card that has all of those things on it.
Okay, that's very strange because, again, for the Part B cost right now monthly $144.60, and it went up from $135. So people have to pay every month for the Part B. They're not paying for the Part A because, again, it's entitlement. So
But I got a special plan where Aetna's paying the first $100, and I pay it every 6 months instead of by the month because I'm not drawing Social Security, so they have... send them the money. But, what my insurance agent told me is that every single state has different rules. You know, whether
it's in Texas,
or whether it's North Carolina or Florida, every state has different rules.
It's possible, even though Medicare is not a state program, it's a government program. So
I know it's a government program, but the insurance rules are different. All I know is I have my Medicare card and I have Aetna card, and I know I pay $40 a month, and I've got Part A, Part B, and Part D for that price.
Okay, so maybe there's something different. Okay, so on a different topic, finally, you know, we went to Panama, me and my wife, in December, and love it very much. And, you know, I can't wait until I get back for another little vacation. And my question is, how many communities, like expat communities, are in a Boquete area? I just recently found out that there's a community in a Canyon, Canyon Village, like Boquete Canyon Village. That's one
of
the
communities. Yeah, it's actually in Caldera. It's about 20 minutes south of Boquete.
Okay, but how many communities are there where, you know, the mostly expat communities? Are there a lot?
Are you talking about a gated community or just, you know, there? Most people don't live in a gated community. So there's
kinds of
communities. Yeah.
Yeah, not gated. I'm just talking about, because we went to the marketplace, like, you know, that's downtown. I'm assuming Boquete, where, you know, they got a market every Tuesday.
Right.
So, yeah, and lived about 10 minutes away, 10 or 15 minutes away. We just got B&B, Airbnb, stay there. And we did not see lots of communities around. Maybe we just did not go there. Maybe that's on a suburbs of that area. But I was just wondering how many communities are there.
There's a lot of different neighborhoods and there's a lot of different communities, but I would not classify any of them as an expat community, because in all of the different communities, it's probably, 70% or more Panamanian and maybe 20 or 30% expats.
I see. Because my understanding was that some expats are kind of like live in community where no Panamanians are living. It's just an expat country. So there is no such thing. It's always mixed with the Panamanians and expats. Yeah,
I'm not aware of any communities that are exclusively expats.
Okay, understand. Well, thank you very much, Jackie, as always. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Next caller is area code 479. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie, Jim and Janice Hallisey. We're scheduled for the Valentine's Day tour and looking forward to that, but we had scheduled an extra week afterwards to explore the communities that we thought were the most promising and to go back and go in more depth there. But we understand that week afterwards, we found this out after the fact, is Carnival Week. Is it going to be terribly frustrating to try and get around and to find accommodations and to do, my wife was even thinking of getting some dental work done. Is everything pretty well shut down during Carnival Week?
No, during Carnival Week, there's really the main celebration for Carnival is in Las Tablas, which is in the Azuera Peninsula. There's also a big celebration in Pananome and also in Panama City. But every place else, there isn't even really a Carnival celebration. Like in Boquete, we don't celebrate Carnival really, because, you know, during Carnival, the fire department hoses you down with their hoses, and it's too darn cold in Boquete to do that. So some people come to Boquete to get away from Carnival and the noise and the loud music and the craziness. But no, the dentist offices will be open. If you wanted to get a hotel in Las Tablas, you can forget it. If you wanted to get a hotel room in Pananome, it's not going to be possible. But anywhere else in the country, you will not have a problem. Restaurants will be open. Hotels will be open. Dentists will be open. So you can still get things done.
Okay. So for going to some of these other communities, we already have an Airbnb scheduled in Boquete, but to go to the other areas, I think you had in a previous call had said it's better to wait so we know which ones we want to go back to, and we should still be able to accommodation.
Right, and I have friends throughout the country. I can always find something, you know. I just send out some WhatsApp messages. I can always find something for you.
Okay, all right. And we wanted to rent a car. Neither of the places that we've been referred to has responded to our emails.
Yeah, they don't do email much.
Oh, okay. So what's the best way? What?
to call them. The best way is to call them or send a WhatsApp.
Okay. All right. We'll try that.
Okay. Good. I look forward to meeting you. Thanks. All right. My next caller is area code 772. By the way, before I take this next call, if anybody else has a question, all you need to do is press star 6 and put you in line to ask your question also. Now, go right ahead, area code 772.
Hi, Jackie. It's Peter and Syria here. We're coming down for your Valentine's Day tour.
Exciting.
We're looking forward to it. We couldn't get on the November one, so this is the one we've been really looking forward to. What we want to know is, like, when and where can we meet when we arrive in Panama City, so you can get us the hotel reservations for the 5 nights that we're going to stay in Panama City after the tour is over. We talked about this before, and you said to wait until we get down to Panama.
Yeah, because you're not sure which hotel you want to be in. You're not sure where you want to be. So the tour starts in Panama City. And once
right.
we have all of your international flight information, then we will make a reservation for you at our hotel in Panama City. And then for after the tour, we don't know where you want to be. If you want to be in Boquete,
no,
if you want to go back over to Bocan.
We said we want to stay in Panama City. So that's why we said that, we're going to... You said you'd help us get a hotel in Panama City for the extra 5 days.
Well, we need to know if you want to be close to the airport. We need to know, where you want to be.
How about in the hotel that we're going to be staying in when we get down there?
If you just send me an email to Jackie at Panama Relocation Tours, we can book that for you.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Next caller is area code 780.
Hi, Jackie. This is Terry and Joanne. We're from Canada. We're very much interested in taking one of your tours. The chances are when we fly down for the tour, we were thinking we would probably want to stay for 3 or 4 months after that. I wonder, would you be able to help us find a rental for that if we had narrowed it down in advance to Boquete or Coronado?
Well, we're not property managers, so we don't, or real estate agents, we don't sell real estate or rent real estate, but we can put you in touch with the right people who we know and trust who can help you find a rental in that area for the time frame.
Good.
So
we'll
point you in the right direction.
So we could contact you prior to the tour and you would be able to point us in the right direction for that.
That's right.
Great. Do you mind if I ask one more quick question then?
Because there's two of us.
Okay, go ahead.
Thanks. We were wondering about using Canadian credit cards down there. We have U.S. Accounts, U.S. dollar credit cards up here. Can we use those easily in Panama?
You can use them. I wouldn't necessarily say easily because a lot of places are cash or cash.
Okay.
So you want to make sure you bring a debit card so you have access to getting more cash if you need it. Hotels will usually take a credit card. A few restaurants take credit cards. Some of them don't. But a lot of places, it's just cash.
Okay. So we saw we've been reading your very informative emails that we've been getting, and it talks about how easy it is to set up a bank account in Panama
mm-hmm.
when we're there anyway.
Right. Well, and we'll help you with the bank account during the tour. But okay. I would recommend, it wouldn't hurt to bring a debit card and make sure you bring your PIN along with you so that you can always use go to an ATM machine to get access to cash if you need it.
Very good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in tonight. I look forward to meeting you.
Take care.
Bye. Hi, my next caller, I believe, is Beverly. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Beverly calling from Las Vegas, and I have a quick question. I'm planning on doing a long-term rental for a year, but I was wondering if you noticed any activity as far as tiny house activity or anything like that. Long-term, I'd like to consider that.
There's, you know, there's some people that are taking some old buses and converting them into tiny houses. And I know of a developer that's planning to build a tiny house community, but I haven't seen anything go up yet.
Okay, anything in both?
But I can also tell you that, you know, some of the houses in Panama, they're already just a tiny house. This is just an example. I just tell you, you've seen some of our videos on YouTube. Our videographer is a Panamanian guy, and he wanted to, he didn't need a lot of room, so I helped him find a place that he's renting, and I believe it's maybe 600 square feet. It's not very big, but his rent is $200 a month, and that includes a completely furnished house, you know, stove, refrigerator, queen-size bed, includes electricity, internet, 100 megabits of internet speed, and cable TV and everything for $200 a month. So that's not being built.
$600 would be fantastic.
Yeah, that was, no, it was $200 a month.
No, 600 square feet.
Yeah, so it's a tiny house, but it was built probably, you know, 30 years ago. So there are some Panamanian houses that they're already just tiny houses, but it's not in like a tiny house community. There's just some small homes.
Yeah, that would work perfect. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. All right, my next caller is area code 832. Go right ahead.
Hi, I'm scheduled for your October 30th tour, and I would like to know, can we bring seeds and cuttings from the United States with us when we move to Panama?
You can bring seeds with you, but you cannot bring cuttings. No live plants. No cuttings from plants.
Okay. All right. Can I ask another question?
Okay.
It's about banking, and I know there's been a lot of questions asked about banking. Are there any U.S. banks there in Panama?
No.
No. Okay. All right. That's
all right.
I'm looking forward to seeing you October 30th.
I look forward to meeting you as well. Thanks for calling in tonight. Next caller is area code 707.
Hi, Jackie. So my question was...
Hello.
So my question was, if all of us that are planning on coming down there, is there enough housing? Are they building more homes to accommodate the kind of influx of people moving in down there?
Well, you know, there's a lot of vacant properties right now, mostly in Panama City. I don't know what the vacancy rate is, but there's a lot of vacant houses. There's a lot of properties that are for rent. It might sound like there's a whole lot of people that are moving because I have so many people on my phone calls, but some of the people, they come and look at Panama and they say, nope, there's no Walmart down the street. It's not going to work for me. Or nope, there's not a Whole Foods. It's not going to work for me. So they move on to, you know, they either stay where they are or keep looking at other countries. But there's always plenty of housing that's available, and they're building new housing right now. Just outside of Boquete, where I live, they're building this whole really nice little community of two-bedroom, two-bath houses that are only $50,000.
And some
investors are buying that, and then they're renting them out, and some people are just buying it to move into.
Yeah. And then for driving, would our licenses work down there temporarily? Do we have to get if we decide to move and live there permanently, do we have to get a driver's license for down there?
So this is how it works with a Panama driver's license. Whenever you come to Panama as a tourist, you're allowed to drive on your license from the United States or Canada or Europe or wherever you're from for only 90 days. After that, you can't drive anymore in the country. Once you get your residency visa, like a pensionado visa or a friendly nation visa, then you're required to get a Panama driver's license right away after you get that visa. And the whole process is... you know, you have to get your current license authenticated, and that has to be authenticated a second time from the Ministry of Foreign Relations, and then you have to take a vision test and a hearing test, and for $40 you get a license. So then you, once you get your visa, you have to switch to a Panama driver's license. To answer your question, the short answer is you can only drive on your current license for 90 days in Panama.
Okay, and then you don't have to take a written test down there like we do up here to get a to renew
no.
the license.
Type no, thing. If you already have a driver's license, then you don't have to take any written tests. You don't even have to get in a car and parallel park.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Uh-huh. All right. Look forward to meeting you.
Okay,
thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Next question is area code 253.
Hi, Jackie. My name is Gail, and my sister and I are coming to visit you on a tour in September.
Exciting. I look forward to meeting you both.
Well, thank you. I'm so excited about it myself. My question is, should I decide that this is the place I want to move, as far as the time it takes to be there to get apply for and get the residency visa, could you go over that? Is there extra time you need to stay beyond the tour? How much can get done toward the visa on the tour?
So let me go over that. So I think it's a good idea. There's a couple of different ways you can go about it. Some people just want to come on the tour and see if Panama is a go or no go. Is it going to work or is it not going to work? And then once they determine that it's going to work, then they gather the paperwork and they come back to do their visa. Some people, they've done enough research, they're pretty darn sure that Panama is going to work for them, and they want to be prepared immediately after the tour to go ahead and work on getting your visa. So if you fall into that category that you're pretty sure you're going to be moving to Panama, you could go ahead and start on your visa. The visa is a three-step process. Initially, it'll take between 5 and 7 days to get your visa. And this is a temporary, or it's also called a processing visa, that's only good for 6 months. And that six-month time frame gives immigration time to check you out a little bit more thoroughly, review all the paperwork, make sure all the I's are dotted, all the T's are crossed. Usually, about 3 months, 2 or 3 months after you get your temporary, also called a processing visa, your attorney will notify you that your permanent visa is ready. You could maybe plan your actual move to Panama on when your permanent visa is ready. Even if they call you at 2 months and they say your permanent visa is ready, you don't have to rush right down here to get it, you need to come down within that six-month time frame that you got your temporary visa. To get your permanent visa, it only takes 1 day, really just a couple of hours, at the immigration office to get your permanent visa. And once you get that visa, it's good indefinitely. It's good forever. There's no renewal fees. There's no other processes for the actual visa. The next step that's involved, which can wait until after you move to Panama and you get your permanent visa, is to get your national ID card, also called a cédula. And so your attorney can help you get that after you get moved to Panama. The cédula, it comes in real handy, like whenever you go to a pharmacy and you want to get the discount at the pharmacy, they're used to seeing that national ID card. Whenever you go to a movie theater and you get half price, they're used to seeing that ID card for all the discounts. You could show your Visa card and they would still give you the discount, but it's more common to show the cédula.
Okay, so I hear you talk about assisting people opening up bank accounts while they're there on the tour. Is there any time for seeing an attorney if you bring down all your apostilles? I've done this before, and then I got waylaid, and it didn't happen. So I had all my documents, my background check, proof of income, all that stuff. I had it all apostilled. And had it, but if I brought all that stuff down with me, is there any opportunity to start the process sometime on the tour, or is it just going to have to
not during the tour? You'd either have to come in five days early or stay 5 days after the tour.
Okay, great.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we're going to keep you busy every single day during the tour, teaching you all kinds of things. You will have a little bit of free time, 2 days in the afternoon. You'll have some free time to just go walk around a little bit and get out of the bus. But it's all about education during the tour.
I've been there twice already, so I kind of familiar.
Okay.
Anyway,
okay.
Thank you so much, Jackie.
You're welcome. And my next caller is area code 610. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, Jackie. I have a question. I was reading over your site, and I saw where it says if you don't own property, there's a $500 corporation fee. Did I read that right? Or?
So this is, no, there's no corporation fee. If you're going to get a Friendly Nation visa, then one of the requirements for the Friendly Nation visa is that you have to set up a corporation. And it's just to show a connection to the country to get a corporation. It's a way for Panama to make a little bit of money. If you don't plan to start a business or any of those things, then you, after you get your permanent visa, you could just let your corporation go, or you can even sell your corporation. Another way that you could get under certain visas, you can also buy property, and that will count towards some of the income for like a pensionado visa. Instead of proving $1,000 a month in lifetime income, you only have to prove $750 a month in lifetime income if you purchase a $100,000 property. There are annual renewal fees for the corporation, which are $300 a year, plus whatever your attorney charges, which is usually $50 to $100.
Okay.
But if you don't keep the corporation, you don't have any of those annual renewal fees.
Okay, great. Okay, thank
All
you.
All right. Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Next caller is area code 719.
Oh, yes. Hi, this is Roz of Roz and Manny, and we're coming on your tour July 3rd. We're really excited. So, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I look forward to meeting you in July.
I can't wait either. So our situation is we're in the pretty sure category, and we each individually on Social Security make less than $1,000 a month, but together we make like $1,500 a month. So is that okay for a married couple? We have other income, but it's rental property, and that's, you know, you never know, somebody's moving out. This is our Social Security, which is the,
would that qualify for pensionado?
Yeah, so if you're married and your combined income is at least $1,250 with Social Security, you'll qualify with no problems.
Excellent. Okay, great. Okay, well, in July, should I bring a winter coat or something warm? Is it cool at night?
Yeah.
For
No, the coldest it's probably going to get is maybe the high 60s, low 70s.
Great. Okay. All right.
I don't think you're going to need the winter coat, and you'll be inside anyway.
Okay. Well, Jackie, we're really looking. I feel like I know everybody that lives in Boquete because we voraciously watch all the films you do. They're all so great. I love all the people. I'm so excited. We're really looking
I have to tell you a funny story. I got an email today from somebody that's visiting Las Tablas in the Azuera Peninsula. He said, you know, because he's watched a lot of my videos and he's followed me on Facebook, and he said, I was sitting at this restaurant and who walks in? Phil. And I've talked about Phil. We visit his house during the tour. He's seen his picture on Phil. And he said, And then I went over to the Coaches to look over Coaches, and Anita and Greg walk in. I felt like I already knew them because I saw their video on YouTube.
Oh, I know
it. And then I went to the grocery store, and Carol was there. I saw her video on YouTube. I already know. I have all these friends already, and I have I got here because he's met them through us. It's exciting.
It's a wonderful thing you do with all those videos, Jackie, because it really does make people feel more intimate, and we just love watching things like that. So it's something to do while we're getting ready to come, you know?
I have another quick question, Jackie, if I may. What is the average cost of a flight from David to Panama City?
It depends on the time of year. With a Jubilado discount, it's about $85 just for one way. So it's not cheap, that's for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's expensive. Okay. Uh-huh. All right. Well, we will see you in July. Thank you for what you're doing.
I look forward to meeting you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Us too.
My next caller is area code 646.
Hi, Jackie. This is Dawn. I'm coming on your September tour. And my question
hey, Dawn,
is,
I look forward to meeting you. It can't
right.
get here fast enough, huh?
I tell you, my question is, do you need to have the either visas to own property in Panama, or do you need to, with the Panama Corporation, can you put property that you own under that corporation? I know that's like a loaded question.
Well, there's no requirement to have a residency visa to buy property in Panama. You don't have to have a visa. But I wouldn't recommend buying property unless and until you get your visa. And okay. whenever you do buy property, some people take title in their own name. Some people take title in a corporation or a foundation. The advantage of taking title in the corporation or the foundation are twofold. Number one is asset protection is built into it. If somebody were to, trip and fall on the property, they might want to sue you, but they could never get the house because the house is in a corporation. It's not the same person. The other thing is all your estate planning is built into that corporation, and especially the foundation. So you say, if anything were to happen to me, I want my son to get half of the house and my daughter to get half of the house. It's already built into the corporate documents to help you avoid probate and things like that.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much. I'll see you in September.
I look forward to meeting you. My next okay. caller is area code 832. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Kathy and Larry from Tour 115 that we just had in December. We had a great time, and thank you so much. And we've already started working on our Friendly Nations visa. And
exciting.
I know, it's super exciting. Anyway, it's been great, and we're starting to hear some. We've heard from a few other people that they might be changing some of the requirements for the Friendly Nation visa, or maybe governmental changes. Is there any timeline on that?
We stay in touch with the three different attorneys that we work with all the time, and all they've said is that right now the only thing that they've changed is the work permit that you can get with the Friendly Nation visa. When I got my Friendly Nation visa and I got my work permit, it's an indefinite work permit. No renewal fees, no nothing. We get it once, it's good forever. And then last year in April of 2019, they changed it so the work permit that you get with a Friendly Nation visa is only good for 3 years. And then you have to pay $250 to renew it for another 3 years. So it's not a big deal, but, it's just a little bit of an inconvenience and more expenses. But what they're telling me is that there's rumblings in the Panamanian government that they do want to make changes to the Friendly Nation visa. We don't know exactly what those changes are going to be. I have heard that they are getting ready to take some of the friendly countries off the list. The United States and Canada will still be on the list, but there's some countries. Right now, it's 50 different countries. And right now, there's certain countries that they are debating about taking, I think, about 10 different countries off of the list. So that's the most significant. That's the most significant change. But other changes, we just won't know. And the bad thing is they don't tell you, in 30 days we're going to do this. It's like they vote on it today and tomorrow it's changed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, all the attorneys we work with, their advice is if you're thinking about getting the Friendly Nation visa, get it sooner rather than later. Once you get it, you're grandfathered into whatever the rules were on the day you got it. But we just don't know. If you know, in our alumni group, I keep everybody informed about any changes that I hear about that are coming or that have already happened.
Okay, great. So, you know, we're working with one of your attorneys, too. We did the apostille and et cetera, and I know there's probably a kind of a timeline between when you send that in and then you come to Panama. Is that like a few weeks or a few months?
No, the way that it works is actually, you need, your attorney gave you a list of documents that you need to gather up. And then my recommendation is once you gather up all those documents, to go ahead and scan those and email them to the attorney so they can start on the translations, because everything has to be translated into Spanish for you to apply. Those documents that you sent in, they're only good for 6 months, and you don't want to wait until the last month or certainly the last couple of weeks. So once you have your documents together, you need to get down to Panama as soon as possible to apply for that visa.
Okay, we'll work with her, see if we can get a date scheduled.
All right, that's what you need to do. And remember, we're working around Panamanian holidays. During Carnival, which is coming up in February, the government does shut down for about 5 days. But in March, I don't think there's any major holidays to shut the government down for a long time.
Okay, good. What about April?
I don't know. You'd have to do a Google search for Panama holidays in 2020.
Okay, we'll look
for
that. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks. See you soon.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Once again, if anybody has a question, all you need to do is press *6, and I'll be glad to answer your questions. My next caller is area code 718.
Hi, Jackie. This is Bruni. I'm not scheduled for your tour yet, but I've been reading a lot and looking at your videos, which I think are great. But I have a medical insurance question, which has been talked about in the beginning of the conference call. I have Medicare Part A and B, but as secondary insurance, I also have AARP, United Healthcare. And my question is the AARP, United Healthcare, accepted in Panama?
No.
Okay. I just thought that since AARP was well known, that may be, okay, great.
No.
All right. Well, you've answered my question.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Next caller is area code 623.
Hi, how are you, Jackie? This is Danielle and Brad. And, yeah, we're thoroughly enjoying this Q&A, so thank you for making this opportunity available to all of us on the line here.
You're very welcome. Thanks for being on the call.
Absolutely. We'll be on your October 2020 tour, and we are not yet retirement age, so we won't be able to draw Social Security. But we'd like to continue to make an income. Are there opportunities to run, like, an Amazon FBA, for example?
There is, and I spent about a half a day teaching you 3 different ways that you can make money that all utilize Amazon, either through ebooks or for products. But I also teach you another really unique way during the tour. So if you are still working and you have some kind of an online business, like an Amazon business or other things, then you don't even have to get a work permit to be in Panama. You only need the work permit if you're going to be working in Panama, selling a product or service into Panama.
Okay, very, very good. And so would we also need then to have proof of income?
You need to go with a. So what you need to do is go with a Friendly Nation visa, and the Friendly Nation visa, you don't have to prove any kind of a monthly income, but you do have to put $5,000 in a Panama bank account the day you get your visa, which is only going to take about 5 days. You can start spending that money.
Okay, very,
so
very good.
It's your money. It doesn't have to stay in the bank. It's your money. They just want to see that you have $5,000 in a Panama bank account to qualify for that Friendly Nation visa.
Beautiful. Excellent. Can I try one more question?
Real quick, yep.
Okay. Will you at all talk on during the tour? We have a 12-year-old. She'll be 12 by the time we get over there in 2020. Will you talk at all about education and what that might look like for a teenager at that point?
So I'm going to point out where some of the international schools are and some of the bilingual schools and what the prices are. And some of them are on a Panamanian school year, which means summer vacation is the middle of December till the end of February. Some of them are on a North American school year, which means they have, you know, a June, what is it, May, June, July off. So different schools have different things. And when I have someone on the tour that has children that are moving, I always make sure that we meet with people that have moved to Panama that have children so that you can talk with them about the their experiences with moving their child here and their transition and all of those things.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Well, we are very much looking forward to it. And like you said, October can't get here soon enough.
Yeah, I look forward to meeting you. Thanks. My next caller is area code 270.
Hi, my name is Beth, and I'm asking about the the pensionado visa. I don't have any kind of pension. Does rental income count?
So to qualify for the pensionado visa, you have to prove that you have a lifetime income from a government pension or a private pension of at least $1,000 a month. So that would be like Social Security, if you've worked for a company for a long time and the company is paying you a pension, or military retirement, any of those things would qualify. But if you don't have that, then you're not going to be able to get the pensionado visa. You'd have to go with a friendly nation visa instead, and it does not require the monthly income.
Okay, and also on that, I am married. Is it possible for me to come down by myself and leave my husband behind and then him come down at a later time, or do we have to do that together because we're married?
So to get, you mean for getting the visa?
Well, I mean, just he may want to not come until he's old enough to collect for retirement, which will be a while.
Okay, so sure, you could move down and you could get your visa without your husband. That's no problem. When and if he decides to move down to Panama, then he'll need to apply for his own pensionado visa. You have to both be present at the same time to get a visa as a couple, which saves a little bit of money by doing it that way. So maybe he wouldn't mind coming down for that 5 days to get the visa, and then he could go back.
Okay.
One of the great things about getting the visas in Panama, many countries, once you get the residency visa in some countries, you're not allowed to leave that country for more than like 30 days the first 2 years after you get your visa. But Panama's not that way. Once you get your pensionado visa or the friendly nation visa, there's absolutely no requirement to live in Panama. You only have to come back every 2 years for a couple of days to maintain your visa. So even if he got his visa prior to retirement, that's just, it's out of the way. So whenever he does get ready to move later, then he'd already have his visa.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. And my next caller, go right ahead.
Hey, Jackie, this is Scott. I was on 117.
Hi.
I'm doing good. I forgot to get the information from you about the guy that just shipped his motorcycle, because I'm getting ready to ship mine in June or July. Can I email you?
Yeah, his name is Mark. If you'll send an email to Jackie at Panama Relocation Tours, I will send you his information. Also, on my website, on Panama Relocation Tours, if you just do a search for motorcycle, he wrote an article about the steps and the process for getting the motorcycle here. But send an email to Jackie at Panama Relocation Tours, and I'll get that to you. You know, right after that 117th tour, like the next day, I flew to Texas, and that's where I am right now to help my daughter with a few things. So, I just was went home, unloaded my suitcase, washed my clothes, threw them all back in the suitcase, and left again.
No, it was a great tour. I loved it. Look forward to seeing you guys in a few months, especially when we come to
Coronado.
Look forward to
seeing you. But yeah, just send an email and I'll give you Mark's contact information so you can get more details about getting your motorcycle there.
Thank you, Jackie.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. And my next caller, go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Terry Johnson. I'll be on your May, end of May tour.
Great. I look forward to meeting you.
My wife is Korean, and she's currently living in Korea. And when we come down, you know, one thing I want to make sure of is once we're, you know, going through the visa process, that we have all of our ducks in a row, because going back and forth to Korea is soul-crushing. And is it possible for the attorneys to know if everything's in order and is acceptable? She doesn't have family back there, and we wouldn't be able to easily, you know, get anything that is necessary if it isn't taken care of beforehand.
Yeah, if you'll send an email to info@PanamaRelocationTours, then we can give you the information that you're going to need so that you know that there's not going to be any problems at all whenever you get here.
Do many of the people applying run into any snags with the process? I mean, is it fairly straightforward?
No, in 10 years, I've only had one person that was denied, and it was from a lot of felonies.
All right. One last question. Are there many Asians in the Boquete area or any of these other communities? Because I know my wife would feel a little more comfortable.
There are some, yes.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Thank you very much for your time. It was a great article that you posted today on residency visas. It was very informative.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. I look forward to meeting you.
Thank you.
And my next caller, go right ahead.
Hi. I was wondering if the pensionado visa, if my wife is like 14 years younger than me, and I'm, 64, she wouldn't be able to get the pensionado benefits, but she would be able to arrive on this same visa as me, correct?
Yeah, no, actually, if you apply for a pensionado visa together, if you qualify for the pensionado visa and you get the pensionado visa, she can still get all those discounts. Only time when there's an age restriction is if you get the Friendly Nation visa. With the Friendly Nation visa, women have to be 55 and men have to be 60 to get the discounts, but they don't have that age restriction for the pensionado visa.
Okay. Now, my wife is from Mexico, and I was wondering also that the safety situation, I mean, it's quite different than Mexico. I mean, there everyone has glass running along the walls, and so I was wondering how it compares to Mexico.
I was in Mexico October a year ago, but I was only in San Miguel and Guanajuato, and I saw that. So people, people are nervous about things. I'm in Austin, Texas right now, and just in the week that I've been here, there's been, I think, 4 shootings and 8 stabbings and a bank robbery in one week in Austin, Texas. So Panama doesn't have any of that stuff. It's so much safer in Panama. You are going to see some houses. Houses have bars on the windows, kind of like your house has a deadbolt on it. So houses have bars on the windows. It's just a customary Latin American thing, like Mexico has them too. The other thing that you'll see at some houses is they are going to have a gate around it, and they may have some barbed wire at the top of the gate. Those are mostly houses where people don't live there full time. Many Panamanians will have a place in Panama City. They might have a beach house. They might have a mountain house, and they're just not there all the time. So in Panama, the owner of the property takes measures to provide extra security for the property at all times. But we don't have the broken glass thing.
No, okay. And when you're using the pensionado, the flights, can you get a flight from Mexico into and get the discount? if it originates
so
in Mexico?
So the way that it works with the airlines is, first of all, you need to work with a travel agent to get the discounts, a Panamanian travel agent to get the discounts on the flights. And during the Panama relocation tour, we make some recommendations for a really good travel agent. And then for some airlines, the flight has to originate in Panama for you to be able to get the discount. It can go all over the world after that, but it has to originate in Panama. And then there are certain airlines that the flight can originate anyplace else, and you still get the discounts.
What, can I ask one more question?
You get one more because it's supposed to only be one, so you get one more, real quick one.
Okay. Phone service. If we bring an American phone into Panama, does it work in Panama to be able to make calls back to the state outside of using WhatsApp? I'm just wondering if reception.
It's only going to work if you get an international calling plan. Or you'd have to switch out to a Panama SIM card, and then you could make phone calls. With Panama SIM card in your phone, then you can make international calls, and it's no additional charge. It's just like making a local phone call.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Thank you for your call tonight. Thanks for calling in. My next caller, go right ahead.
Well, hi, Jackie. I had was going to ask you another question, but the reason I'm asking you this because you were talking about people bringing in motorcycles. Are people bringing in their cars and stuff like that there?
A few people bring in their cars, but it's pretty rare. And the reason for that are two things. Number one is that North American cars have emission controls and catalytic converters, and Panama cars don't have that. So it's very hard to find mechanics that know how to work on the car, and very, very, very hard to get the parts. It could take a long time. The other problem is the gas that we use in Panama doesn't have ethanol. The lowest octane you can get is a 91, so it doesn't do very well in North American cars.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right. Thank you for calling in. Go ahead, next caller.
Hi, Jackie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you tonight?
I'm doing okay. Me and my mom were actually scheduled for the October 30th tour, and I heard another caller, which was good, that was thinking of bringing their children. So the tour is actually for me. I was interested in relocating there with my boys. They'll be in high school this upcoming school year, and as a matter of fact, I think they're actually on the same tour. So I guess I was wondering or trying to get a feel because I couldn't find as much information on the retired community versus, I'm not yet 40.
Well, and in every single community, there's people of all different ages. A lot of people with children are moving down. So for just an example, in the town I live in Boquete, when I first moved there, the international school that we had in town had about 150 students, but more and more people with children kept moving there, both Panamanians and foreigners. And so now that same school has 750 students in it 10 years later. Over in Volcan, there's several different, there's a bilingual school. It's only $75 a month for the bilingual school. And international schools over there in the Coronado area by the beach, there's international schools, and they're full. They have lots of kids in there. So a lot of people with children are moving down. You know, it's young children, 10 years old, 15 years old, 20-year-olds, all different ages.
Oh, that's awesome to know. Okay.
So there definitely are a lot of retirees, but there's a lot of people that are your age also that are 40 years old that are moving there, some with children, some without children.
Okay. That's good to know. May I ask one more question?
One more question if it's an easy one, if it's a fast one.
I think so. I actually am a trader, So I was wondering the reliability of the internet and if I would run into any type of issues if I did that from Panama, as long as I keep my citizenship.
You could. Panama, there's some areas of Panama have fiber optics, and with fiber optics, the minimum speed is 100 megabits of internet speed. You can get up to 600. It's absolutely the most reliable internet in the whole country. But okay. Some areas of Panama do not have fiber optics. So with what you want to do, you want to make sure that you move to an area that's serviced by fiber optics.
Okay, absolutely. Okay.
All right. Look forward to meeting you. Thanks.
Same here. Thank you.
Next caller, go right ahead.
Hi, I'm Diana from Tulsa, Oklahoma. I just have a few questions about the tour.
Mm-hmm.
The hotel that we're going to be staying at that is in September, the mm-hmm. name of the hotel?
Well, we stay at a different hotel every night.
I mean, for the when you check in, that hotel number, that name.
Yeah, it's a Marriott hotel in Panama City, but we stay at a different hotel every night.
Yeah, as we go through. And how much cash do you think we should take on this tour?
Remember that our tour is a 6-day, 7-night, all-inclusive tour, and that means that all your hotels are paid for, all your meals are paid for, your transportation's paid for, your flight back to Panama City is all paid for. We take care of the tips. So the only thing you need money for is if you wanted to buy some souvenirs or if you forget your toothpaste and you need to go buy some toothpaste. just souvenir stuff. So you might want to bring, $400, $300 or $400. You won't need very much unless you want to open up a bank account during the tour. Then you need to bring $1,500 in cash for that.
Okay. And your website for getting the types of visas you have, is there a website so you could look at all the visas so that you could check which one you need?
Well, Panama has about 15 different kinds of visas. The two most common visas and the only two affordable visas are the Pensionado visa and the Friendly Nation visa. If you go to our website and in the search bar, if you type in residency visa, I have a great article called Demystifying the residency visa process, and it explains the two visas, the Pensionado visa and the residency visa, and what the process is for getting those. Both of those visas are very affordable and they're very fast. You get your visa in less than 6 months. Usually in less than 3 months you get a permanent visa. The next step up is a visa called the reforestation visa, which costs about $80,000. That's why we don't even go there. And the next step up is a business visa, which is $160,000. And you have to already prove that you're in business and you have to hire 10 Panamanian employees. So we don't even want to go there, right? We just want to stick with the easy and affordable visas and forget about all that other stuff that costs. You can buy a house for that much money.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I was asking, you have YouTube videos. I don't know that address for the YouTube videos. Could you give that to me?
Yes, it's youtube.com, Panama Relocation Tours. And boy, are you going to be in for a treat. You're going to be up all night long watching videos if you go over there right now. I warned you in advance.
Well, my sister and I went to Costa Rica in the summer this year because we're both thinking about moving in. And we decided to check out Panama. So
yeah. Let me what we have on the YouTube channel. It's divided into two different categories currently. One of the categories is just people that went on the tour and they're talking about their experiences in Panama, what they thought about it, what they thought about the tour.
Mm-hmm.
We have those kind of videos, but the other videos that are going to be especially intriguing for you is we've got, thousands of people that have come on our tour, and then 1 6 month, months or 1 year or 2 years later, we did an interview with them. So I say, like, okay, you've lived in Panama 5 years now. What do you think about it? You know, how has your life changed since you've been here? Tell us what your life is like living in Panama. So we have a lot of videos like that. And some people we interviewed after they've only been here 1 month, and then we went back and interviewed them again 5 years later to see how things have changed. So you're going to be in for a treat when you go to youtube.com/ Panama Relocation Tours.
Wonderful. And, you know, I've been listening to the whole seminar, conference, whatever you call it, but you keep repeating about talk to your attorney. Is it necessary to have an attorney for everything, or is that just a suggestion?
No, as you're going to need an attorney to get a visa. You can't do that on your own. You'll need help with an attorney. And during your Panama relocation tour, we're going to give you the three attorneys that we recommend the most, that we know are going to give you a really good price on getting your visa, and we know that they're going to make the process super easy for you.
Okay. Well, I really would like to know. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. Next caller, go right ahead.
Hey, Jackie. My name is John, and I live in Tyler, Texas.
Hey, John. I used to hang out over by Tyler, so I know that area.
Well, welcome to Austin. I bet you'll be glad to get back to Panama.
I can't wait.
And you're right about the videos. I've been watching the YouTube videos for 2 weeks, and it just clicked about a week and a half ago, wait a minute, this is a lady that's trying to help me. So I've spent many of hours watching your videos, and I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad you enjoy them.
Yeah. First of all, I'm 52. I'm not working. I do not draw a pension or my 401k or Social Security yet. If I do get my Social Security disability, then there's going to be no question I know what kind of visa that I can get. I'll get the pension one. I want to do this a little bit backwards, and I wanted to know how you felt about it. I travel a lot, and so I was wondering how you felt about me just coming over to Boquete and just renting a place for 3 or 4 months. I'm not sure how long I can stay in Panama, and do I need a visa just to come visit for a few months and just to check it out before I take your tour?
Well, there's two comments about. A lot of people think they want to move to Boquete because they've heard so much about it, and it is absolutely beautiful. I love living there. But to be honest with you, the majority of the people that come on my tour, after the tour, when they see Volcan, they end up moving to Volcan. And the reason for that is because the prices are about 20 to 30% cheaper than Boquete. The hospital, they have a hospital in Volcan that's a 24-hour hospital with an emergency room. The grocery stores are so much better, and it's not as clicky as it is over in Boquete. So those are some of the reasons that people prefer the Volcan area. So my recommendation, if you're going to be here for 3 months, you can stay for 6 months as a tourist. So long as you're not driving. If you're going to rent a car and drive, you can only stay for 90 days. And don't plan on spending that whole time in Boquete. You know, do 1 month in Boquete and do 1 month in Volcan. And just dig a little bit deeper and explore a little bit more instead of focusing only on one area.
Okay, so if I stay 4 or 5 months, I don't have to worry about putting $5,000 into a Panamanian account.
Nope, you can stay for 6 months as a tourist. It's just you can't drive. You can only drive for 90 days. After your 90 days is up, then you have to stop driving. But you can stay for 6 months, no visa, no bank account, nothing.
Well, that's okay. I love buses.
The buses are great, super affordable and really good.
Well, I really appreciate that, and I will know a lot more once I get more details from Social Security. I was just hoping I could come before I got my Social Security because I don't know when I'm going to get it just yet. But
okay.
I have plenty of cash in the bank, but they don't care about that. They want to know monthly.
Well, that's only for the pensionado visa. For the friendly nation visa, they don't care. You don't need a pension. For the friendly nation visa, you just have to open up the bank account, but you don't need a pension.
Okay, so I'm sorry for asking more than one question. I didn't realize that. I don't mean to get too personal, but I have a 401k that's going to be wonderful 10 years from now, but I have an additional $300,000 that I could just play with. So I don't need to invest that money or buy anything if I want to come over there and live on a friendly nation?
Nope. You don't need to invest it. You might want to put it in a Panama savings account. It's going to earn a lot more than it does where you are probably.
Okay. Well,
all right.
Wonderful news.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
All right. My next caller, go right ahead. Hello. Your line is unmuted. Go ahead. It just says anonymous. I don't know who it is. Go on to the next person. Next caller, I believe it's Jeff. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Jeff and Marcy. We're in Iowa, and we are coming down on July 3rd. Real simple question. I read in one of your videos that the sun comes up at 6:30 and goes down at 6:30. Is that right?
That's right. Pretty much every day. Maybe there's a 10 minutes early or 10 minutes late, but pretty much 6:30 to 6:30. It's a beautiful thing.
Oh, like in Iowa, in the summertime, it doesn't go down until like 9 o'clock. So
in the wintertime, it probably goes down at 4. So we don't have to deal with that. There's no daylight
saving time
in Panama. Our sunrise is pretty close to 6:30 every day. Sunset is pretty close to 6:30 every day. 12 hours of sunshine.
Wow. So everybody goes to bed early.
No. There's plenty of things to do after dark. You can watch TV, go out to eat, go dancing, listen to some live music. So many things to do.
I find it funny how you guys say at night you need a coat because it's 65 degrees. And to us right now, 32 degrees is a heat wave. And 65, we're just going, really, a coat? I don't think so.
Well, I don't need a coat. I just, I might have on a light jacket. Just, rain jacket. So I don't need anything. Or just a long sleeve shirt is all you really need.
Yeah. My wife is worried about when packing. We've read about what you say to pack. But again, and a lady asked it earlier, now I forgot my question about packing.
Jacket. Are you having a senior moment, Jeff?
Oh, I have them all the time, honey. All the time.
Okay.
That's why I'm coming down there on the pensionado visa.
We got to get you out of that stressful situation. They'll all go away.
But if packing in July, will we need a jacket even?
Hello?
I said, in July. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. In July, do you really need a jacket? Or is that?
No.
Is that probably for night? Oh.
It's not. The temperature is the same in Panama in January and July and September. It's the same temperature. At sea level, it's going to be about 90 degrees plus or minus 5 every day. And for every 1,000 feet you go up in elevation, the temperature is going to drop 4 degrees. So we're going to be spending some time in the evening where it's 3,500 to 4,000 feet. So that means it's only going to be about 62, 65 degrees outside. So if you think that that warrants a jacket, and some people do, then you should bring a light jacket or just a sweater. A sweater's fine. But we're not going to be spending a lot of time walking around outside after dark unless you decide to go explore the towns on your own.
Right. You mentioned volcanoes.
You don't need a jacket. If you just bring a little light rain jacket or a sweater, that's all you need. It's not going to be that cold.
Okay.
All right.
You mentioned Volcan. Is 30% cheaper than Boquete.
Yes.
Is Volcan just as has as much as Boquete as far as conveniences?
There's doctors, there's lawyers, there's pharmacies, there's places to buy clothes. You can get a massage. There's a gym. They've got multiple grocery stores. They have a dollar store. Boquete has 70 some odd restaurants, and they probably have about 20 restaurants in Volcan. But how many restaurants do you really need?
Exactly.
So, you know, and Boquete has some very upscale, i.e. expensive restaurants, and they're much more affordable in Volcan. So you're going to have everything you need is available in Volcan.
Well, congratulations on your hard work. I see you booked a whole year in advance already. I think it's a wonderful. I don't know how you do it, but keep up the good work, and we can't wait to see you in July.
I look forward to meeting you, and thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, my next caller. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. Got a quick question for you on locations down there. Myself and my wife both love swimming in the ocean, not too fond of 90 degrees year-round. Is there an area that you would be somewhere around, say, 2,000 feet that you'd be within 20 minutes of the ocean and possibly even have ocean views?
Yes. If you're in Boquete, you're at 4,000 feet. Halfway between David and Boquete, there's a little town of Dolega and Puerto Rios and those places, and you're going to be at about 2,000 feet and about 30 minutes to a beach. Over by Coronado, you can go up to Valle. It's going to be at about 2,000 feet and be about 30 minutes to a beach. And there's also the town of Soro. You can go to Santa Fe, which is north of Santiago. It's going to be about 1 hour to halfway decent beach. The other thing is there's some mountain areas in the Azuera Peninsula that'll put you at about 1,500 feet, and you'd be less than 30 minutes to the beach. So there are plenty of places in Panama where you can do those things.
Oh, excellent, excellent. I was checking out that Azuera Peninsula. It seemed like if you went up high in elevation that you'd be pretty remote. You wouldn't be necessarily near markets or restaurants, that there wasn't really like any towns up there.
No, yeah. If you're in Chitre or Las Tablas, that's where all the amenities are, and the hospitals and the doctors and really good grocery stores that are open 24 hours and movie theaters and things like that. Any place else in those worlds is going to be pretty remote. Any place else will be remote.
All right. Excellent, Jackie. Thank you very much for the information.
You're welcome. And my next caller, go right ahead. I think it's Paul.
Oh, hi, Jackie. Thanks.
Hi.
Hi. It's nice to hear from you. I seem to remember, I think it was you, said that one less expensive way to get to Panama was to fly to San Jose in Costa Rica and then take the bus to Panama. Am I remembering? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I was Googling on bus services to find out which bus line I would use, and it doesn't turn up right away on Google.
Yeah, unfortunately, in Latin America and Costa Rica and Panama, most of the companies, they don't even have a website. So if they don't have a website, they're not going to come up on Google, and that makes it kind of hard to do anything. But, yeah, the reason that it's cheaper is because Southwest Airlines flies into San Jose, Costa Rica, so those flights are super affordable. Unfortunately, currently, Southwest does not fly into Panama. We're hoping that that'll happen someday, but right now they don't do it. But Southwest is real cheap. But there's, I know there's the Pana Chief bus, there's the Tika Chief bus, so there's a variety of different buses. If you just got into San Jose and got a taxi or an Uber to take you to the bus depot, then you'll have several different buses to choose from to get into Panama.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. My next caller, go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Tim in Texas. I'm not far from you. Yeah, I'm not far from you in Conroe. I'm interested in the Coronado area, and not to be negative, but how polluted is the Panama Bay?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question. Can you repeat it, please?
Sure. How polluted is the Panama Bay?
The Panama Bay around Panama City, from what I understand, is very polluted. But in the Coronado area, you don't see any of that.
Okay, so it's swimmable.
Safely. Oh, yeah. You see people swimming and surfing and kite surfing and, you know, just sitting in the water all the time. In the Coronado, Gorgona, another one is Chame area, all those areas, it's really clean beaches, very, very nice water. But right around Panama City, you don't ever see anybody in the water.
Great. Glad to hear that. One other quick question. I've heard that if you're interested in dual citizenship with Panama, that you have to renounce your American citizenship.
So what happens, you cannot get Panama citizenship until 5 years after you've gotten your permanent visa. And then you can apply for Panama citizenship at that time. It costs $600 to do it. And at the time that you do it, and I don't have dual citizenship, so this is what I've been told by people that do have it. It's not personal experience. But at the time, Panama is going to, you're going to have to sign a document that says you pledge your allegiance to Panama and you're not to any other countries. But they're not going to require you to renounce your citizenship in other places. They're never going to check. They're not going to contact the embassy and say, hey, this guy got a Panama passport. So they're not going to tell. It's a, you know, they're just not going to tell about it. They just want you to pledge your allegiance to Panama.
Great. I just want to say that what you do takes the scary out of people's not wanting to take the adventure. There's a lot of us that just kind of, especially older people, don't want to make the change, but we have it in our minds and our, as we play around with it in our minds, to do adventurous things, and you really take the scary out of it.
Well, I try, and you know, and I'm living it every day because I live in Panama. I've been there for 10 years, and you know, right now I'm in Austin, Texas, because my daughters haven't needed some help getting to doctor's appointments and different things. But I'll be back in Panama soon, and I'm single now. My husband passed away about 2 years ago, so I'm living there by myself, and I'm not afraid at all in Panama. And people just need to see what a beautiful country it is and how it feels there, and it feels safer, and the costs are cheaper. And the scary thing for me would be to stay in a place where property taxes are so high, where health insurance is so high, where house insurance is so expensive, where houses are so expensive. There's an alternative, and it's called Panama.
Yes, and the situation in the U.S. is so much in a turmoil that it just makes it more advantageous to look outside for a second home. And
exactly.
Yeah.
That plan B that I talk about.
Yes, yes. Is there any military presence of the U.S. in Panama?
So we don't, you know, there's no military bases, and you never see any uniformed military people there. But, you know, I follow the Panama. I don't even follow the news in the United States. I follow the Panama news because I want to know what's going on in the country that I love. And so there are some joint activities that happen with the U.S. military, like DEA and other military, that they'll do in the Darien jungle, and it's practice situations on, you know, if they needed to do a big drug bust, or practice situations on what if Panama got a big tsunami and there was a huge natural disaster. So it's not just Panama and the United States, but it's like seven different countries get together a couple of times a year, and they do these joint task force just to go in and help each other in case there's some kind of an emergency situation. So when I'm in Panama City, sometimes in some of the hotels and the restaurants, I see people that they're obviously not Panamanian. They look like they're from North America. They have the crew cut. They just have that military look about them, but they're in civilian clothes. So they may be there for one of those joint task force things, you know, and also part of the treaty, whenever the United States rightfully gave the Panama Canal back to Panama, in that treaty it says that the United States will forever defend and protect the Panama Canal. So I've been told that 10 miles offshore from Panama, that there's always destroyer ships that are out there just in case the Panama Canal ever became under attack. United States, they need that canal, and they're going to come in and they're going to defend it.
That's excellent information. So the Chinese presence there is not as benevolent.
No.
Huh?
Well, you know, when they were building the canal 100 years ago, then there were a lot of Chinese that came in to help build the canal, and they just stayed. So I know a lot of Chinese people, but they were born here, and their mom and dad were born here, and their grandma and grandpa maybe came here 100 years ago, and they're of Chinese descent, but they've been there, their family's been there for 100 years. But the Chinese military, you don't see that at all. The Chinese Panama's only had possession of the Panama Canal for 20 years. Prior to that, it was the United States had possession of the Panama Canal. So there's no way that Panama is going to ever let anybody get possession of their crown jewel, which is the Panama Canal, again.
Thank you, Jackie. That's great.
You're welcome. Thank you for
so
calling
much.
In tonight.
Good night.
And my next caller, go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. It's Elizabeth and in Silver Spring, Maryland. And we're planning on taking your tour in 2021. We would like to go to Boquete and to Volcan, maybe stay a month and learn Spanish at a school. I know that Habla Ya is in Boquete. Are there language schools also in Volcan?
There are language schools in Volcan, but, you know, honestly, there's some private tutors that are going to be more affordable and maybe better, because then you're not going to be in a group setting where there might be, you know, three people that are really, really slow and three people that are really, really advanced, and it makes it uncomfortable. The private tutor is going to teach at your level and just keep pushing you and pushing you without being held back by someone in the class that might be slower.
Okay, and do you have recommendations for those private tutors, and how much do they cost?
They cost about $12 for an hour and a half, and we can give you recommendations for them during the tour.
Okay. Another question. I read that the rainy season is in, I think, like our winter here in Maryland. How much rain could you expect in, like, November, December, or January?
So the rainy season is actually the middle of April until about the middle of December. But the early part of the rainy season, April, May, June, July, you don't get very much rain. You know, it might rain every other day in the late afternoon or even while you're sleeping. It's not until about October and November that you're going to get more rain, where it could start raining at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It might rain 3 days out of the week, maybe 4 days out of the week. But once again, usually whenever you're sleeping, it rarely rains first thing in the morning. It doesn't start until the late afternoon. How many inches you actually get during that time frame, I don't know. But I can tell you that a number of hours that it might rain could be 10 minutes. It could be 3 or 4 hours. So there's just not one right answer.
Okay. And what would be an average rental in Boquete, an average rental for an apartment or a small home in Boquete and Volcan?
$700. And so we just helped one of our tour clients in Volcan. They rented a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1,600-square-foot house, completely furnished on 2 acres with covered parking. Includes all utilities, even internet, for $750 a month. A similar property in Boquete would be over $1,000 for a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. But you can get a 2-bedroom, 2-bath house in the Boquete area for that $750 a month. So you just get more for your money. Another client that came on our tour a long time ago that lives in Volcan, he's got this cute 2-bedroom, 2-bath house in Volcan, and he's paying $400 a month. The same house would be $750 in Boquete. See what I mean by how it's so mm-hmm. much more affordable in Volcan?
Mm-hmm. And so I know the language schools, they have things like activities for you to participate with people that speak the language. You can live with a family. Would the tutor also be able to help us to find things to
yes.
do where we could interact
yes.
with the local people?
Yep, they sure do.
Okay. Do you have any questions? Okay, those are my questions.
Thanks for your call. Next caller, go right ahead.
Hello, Jackie.
Hi.
Hi. Greetings from Fort Worth.
Thank you for being so patient tonight and waiting to ask your question.
Oh, it's been very informative. I really do want to congratulate you on your daughter and son. They've been very informative as well. I know you've mentioned Melissa, but your son Dustin's pretty awesome too.
He is. He's the glue that holds it all together. He runs the website and answers questions and does,
and
just a family
too.
Family
very
business,
good.
And we take care
yep.
of you.
Lots to be proud of. I'm currently scheduled to come down the October 30 to November 6 tour. I'm retired mm-hmm. military, so pensionado will work best for me probably. My question is what documents do I need to be able to provide that show my pension from the Defense Department?
You're just going to need a document that shows that you get a lifetime income of whatever the amount of money is. I know all the military documents have certain numbers, like a DD-214
right.
and all that stuff. You don't need the DD-214 to get the visa, but I don't remember what the number is for that document.
Well, we get a monthly statement from the Defense Department that shows
there
that
you go.
We are retired.
That's all
I
you
just
need.
Didn't know if that works.
Yeah,
and we would
that's
work
all,
that
that's all you
the,
need.
We would work that through the lawyer afterwards. Is that correct?
That's correct. Also, you hopefully you've read some of our other articles. And you know that retired military you get medical benefits here in Panama too. Free medical. They'll bill the VA or TRICARE directly, so you have free medical care
yeah,
and your prescription.
I receive disability payments from the VA as well. So does that all mm-hmm. need to be annotated as well?
You'll need to get with one of the veteran service officers, and they can give you a list of documents that you'll need to get signed up so that you can get the free medical. And I have an article about that.
They have VA reps there in Panama?
We sure do.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So we have veteran service officers throughout the country, and then some of the hospitals here, not all the hospitals, but some of
right.
the hospitals, they have special offices that you go into for veterans benefits.
Sure. Okay. That's awesome. Well, I'm so excited to meet you. Congratulations. You guys are doing a heck of a job, and I definitely will be relocating since I've been all over the world many times. So Panama just looks like the best possible place ever. So very excited.
It is. It's an amazing country. I love living there.
And my Spanish is good. También.
Muy bien. Okay. I'll see you soon.
Okay. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Okay, next caller, go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Robin and Greg from far northern California. And we have recently discovered your services, and we're kind of dismayed that there is such a long wait to get into one of your relocation tours. We did sign up for the wait list for 2020. And we're wondering what the cancellation rate is and what our chances are of getting in sooner than 2021.
I think there's a really good chance. We do have an opening in November for a tour. We just had a new tour date for November, I think November 27th through December 6th, something like that. But if you're on the wait list, like just yesterday, we had an opening for a June tour. That we sent the information out. And the week before that, we had an opening for an April tour that we sent out. So there's a very good chance that we might be able to get you on one of those if you get on the wait list.
Okay, so we are on the wait list, but we did not get those notifications. So who should I contact to make sure that we are notified of any openings?
You need to make sure you select the dates that you want, and we only send out, for example, sometimes we have an opening and it's only for one person, and it's not for a couple. Sometimes we have an opening and it's for a couple, and you may not have gotten the notification because the opening that we had was only for a single person on the tour, not for a couple. Other times we get an opening and it could be for a couple or a single person, either one. But
okay,
if you're on our wait list and you've marked those dates, when we get an opening, and I think you said it's you and your husband or that's the couple that's coming, when we get an opening for a couple, then we will send out an email to everybody that's on the wait list, and you just need to be ready to pounce on it because we'll send you a link that says click here to make your deposit. We don't collect any money at all until you're ready to secure one of the tours.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling tonight. Next caller, go ahead.
Yes, hi, Jackie. This is Maxine from Washington, D.C., and thank you so much for just being so generous with, how you're answering the questions and what have you. I've been waiting, just wanting to ask that question about the waiting list, so that's been answered. Two, could you talk a little bit about the cost of shipping one's furniture, like maybe a two-bedroom house or one-bedroom apartment? Can you just give somewhat of a ballpark on how much that would cost? I understand that there's a discount for seniors.
Well, nope. First of all, I need to ask if you're sitting down.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I am.
Because whenever you hear the price, you better be sitting down. So the cost for like a 20-foot container, which would be about a two-bedroom house, is going to be approximately $7,000 to $10,000. And that's a door-to-door price. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Seven.
Yeah.
To ten.
There is no discount for the shipping. What it is that you don't have to pay, if you get a visa, you don't have to pay customs fees, which could increase the cost even more. So it's very, very expensive. And the other thing that you have to think about with shipping things down is that many of the houses here, both rentals and houses that you buy, they come completely furnished as furniture, pots and pans and dishes and silverware and wine glasses and toaster oven and everything. So finding a house that's vacant that you could put all that stuff into would be a challenge. And you'd have to come down and locate that property before you even considered shipping your things down. One of the things that we do during the tour, after we tell you what that's going to cost, is we take you to some of the different shopping centers. There's like a Target here and other places. You can see the bedspreads. You can see the flat screen TVs that we have here. You can see that we have juicers and we have Instant Pots and we have all that kind of stuff. And so it may be cheaper to just get, you know, sell your things as much as you can and then buy new stuff here. It would probably be cheaper than shipping your things down.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. So, okay.
The other thing to take into consideration is if you have furniture that's a softwood, like a pine wood, that doesn't do very well in Panama because we have termites in Panama. And when you ship down pine, they think you've just delivered dessert. So it's better that you have furniture that's more of a hardwood, like oak or mahogany. I'm sorry, like mahogany or teak, or there's a cedar wood called cedro. Mm-hmm. But anything that's oak or pine, it doesn't do very well in Panama. Leather doesn't do well in Panama.
Oh. Well, the fact that you mentioned for the shipping the container, $7,000 to $10,000, that really kind of settled that, resolved that. I'll just have to figure out. I'm not planning to actually do the transition for a few years anyway. So it sounds like I'll just have to downsize each year until I just get rid of all the stuff. So that's answered that question. So in terms of the waiting, I would probably come down alone. So what's the likelihood, if you could answer the question even, of me being able to get on a tour before the end of the year, being single, just one person?
Well, we do have an opening right now. We added a new tour date for November 27th through December 6th, and we have, I think, 9 rooms available for that tour. So you could sign up for that tour right now. You just go to our website and click on Book a Tour. And then what you could also do is you could get on the wait list for, let's say, something in June, July, or August. And if we got an opening earlier, we would notify you usually at least 30 days and most very often 60 days in advance. And if you said, okay, well, I want to come in July instead, we'll just move your deposit from the November tour over to the July tour so you could come sooner.
Great. Well, I'm still kind of thinking about it because I'm thinking maybe I'll come for the annual jazz festival, which I think is in January, and just combine that with the tour. I haven't really figured it out just yet, but I was just wondering.
Okay. There's a big jazz festival in Panama City. Then there's also our International Blues and Jazz Festival is in Boquete in mid-February.
Well, that's too late for that one. But when is the Jazz Festival in Panama City?
Don't know the exact dates. If you do a Google search for Panama City Jazz Festival, I'm sure it would come up.
Yeah, that's why I haven't actually focused in on combining the tour with the jazz festival, but I think that would be the most efficient way to kind of go about it. The last thing I wanted to ask is I heard you talk about the friendly visa, and I'm thinking that while during my stay for the, I don't know, maybe 2-3 weeks, I would go ahead and just get that paperwork process. So I haven't read the article, so I'll read the article first. I'm sure you've probably answered all the questions that I have about that. But lastly, what about, you mentioned that I also have Aetna. I'm still working, and you were saying that your Aetna is $40 a month, but you also said that it's state by state. So I'm very, very interested. So how is it that you can't use your Aetna in Panama, right? You'd have to come back to the
I have international health insurance, and it covers me with United Healthcare, and it covers me in Panama, covers me in the United States. But I ran into the big decision to make last year when I turned 65. Should I get Medicare now, or should I just, because I don't plan to ever move back to the United States, but you just never know what the future holds. And if I decided to get it when I turned 70 or 75, I'd have to pay a big penalty to get into it at a later date. So in talking to a Medicare specialist, she was able to get me into a program where it's only $40 a month for me to have Part A, Part B, and Part D. So at $40 a month, even though I'm probably never going to use it, I'd rather pay it that much money now than have to pay a big penalty later.
Very, very smart. So I'm going to ask about that. I'm in Washington, D.C., so if I get something in terms of a ballpark of $40 a month, I'll ask. You kind of put it on my radar. So let me ask you this. I think that I'll probably be 72 by the time I'll stop working really late, maybe about 72. So this universal health care, I think the cutoff age is 70, right? I believe.
You mean the international health insurance, the cutoff age is 74. However, there's really no reason to get the international health insurance if you have Medicare in the United States. You only need insurance that covers you in Panama. And they do have insurance in Panama that has absolutely no age restriction at all. It's going to be your age plus about 40. So it's going to be very, very affordable to be covered with insurance in Panama.
Oh, my goodness. So I thought when you talked about health insurance, I thought it was this international plan. So No.
For my international health insurance, I pay about $2,500 a year for that insurance. But when it comes time to renew it next year, I think I can deduct the United States and just be covered in the rest of the world, and it'll get my cost down a little bit more because there's no need in being double insured with both my international health insurance and with Medicare.
Right, right. So you're thinking about dropping Medicare?
No, I'm going to keep Medicare, but I'm going to drop the United States from my international health insurance. I want to say I want to be covered everywhere in the world except the United States because I have Medicare that'll cover me for the U.S.
I see. Got you. There are a lot of things I just need to kind of think through. But
and that's why, when we're on a conference call, it's just a couple of hours. It's too much to process. That's why we do the 6-day, 7-night tour. And I'm there at 7 o'clock in the morning, usually till 10 o'clock at night, teaching you and also answering a lot of questions. And, everything gets clarified.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. Very last question. There was someone on the call that is going to be on the October tour. She didn't mention her name, but she talked about kids and schools. But she also mentioned that she was a trader. I was just wondering, that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm trying. I'm taking classes in, and that's what I'm hoping to do once I come to Panama. And you mentioned fiber optics, and I will definitely keep my eyes and ears open for that. But I would say, is there any way, I would love to speak to the woman that is planning to trade once she gets down to Panama. Is there any way to be?
There's a lot of traders that already live in Panama. Lots of them.
So we talk about day trading.
When you come on the tour, I can make sure we introduce you to some people that are already living there and already doing it.
Oh, my goodness. You're the best. You're the best. Absolutely. Okay. Well,
I'll mull
it over, and I'll make my decision, and looking forward to coming to Panama. Thanks so much, Jackie.
Thank you. Next caller, go right ahead. Hello, we've got the next caller. Your line's been unmuted. Area code 334. Okay, we'll go to the next one. Go right ahead.
Hey, Jackie.
Hi.
I'm from Ohio, and we had a question about health care. How reliable is the health care in Panama compared to in the States?
I think it's better, actually. Before I left the United States, I had two eye surgeries in Panama, and then when I got to Panama, and it's because of an accident. I fell down the stairs, and I detached the retinas in both of my eyes, and I slit my left eyeball, so I had to have some major eye surgeries in Texas. And when I moved into Panama, I started having problems with both of my eyes again and seeing again, so I went to an ophthalmologist in Panama who did a very thorough examination, discovered some problems with my eyes, and so I've had three eye surgeries in Panama. Now I see 20/20 and perfect vision in both eyes with no problems at all. But the other thing is just, you can walk in any laboratory and order your own lab work. You go into a doctor, you don't need an appointment in advance, you just walk in, they're very well qualified. They take the time to get to know you. The way I put it is they put the care back in healthcare. You're not just a number. You're never going to see the nurse. You're going to see a doctor. When you get your teeth cleaned, you're going to see the dentist is going to clean your teeth, not a hygienist. So you just get much better care in Panama, and they really care, and they want to fix you. They don't want to just give you a pill to make it go away.
And with the international healthcare, the insurance, you may have mentioned early on the call, and I might have missed it. About how much is that for a couple?
I don't know what the cost is for a couple. I can tell you that I have United Healthcare, and I'm 65 years old, and I pay $2,560 a year for my health insurance that covers me anywhere in the world. They may have a reduced price for a couple, but I don't know.
Okay. And you have, when you go to the doctor, there are deductibles? Or
actually, what I do when I go to the doctor in Panama, because it's a whole $12 to go to the doctor, I do not whip out my insurance card. I just pay the $12. There's no need. I got a prescription filled the other day, and it was $3.50. I'm not going to give them my insurance card. That was the total cost for everything. So my insurance, I have a $1,000 deductible now, and my insurance is basically if I have anything that's real expensive, then my insurance will kick in. Meanwhile, I don't take any medications. I don't need to, after my eyes got fixed, I don't have very many expenses. When I did have my eye surgeries, I gave the doctor my insurance card. He filed for the insurance. He got paid. I didn't have any out-of-pocket expenses. But when you're going to see a doctor and it's $12 to see the doctor, there's really no reason to make them go through the effort of filing for insurance. It's only $12.
That's awesome. I pay more than that for my dog.
I know. Yeah, well, and dogs are even cheaper, $7 for a vet visit.
Wow. Do a lot of people bring their pets?
A lot of people bring their pets. And so what you might want to do, what you can do to get your costs down on your health insurance is to have a higher deductible, knowing that most things are going to be so cheap. And just keep all of your receipts, and whenever you get to that $1,000 or $3,000, then insurance would kick in. But if you're fairly healthy and you're not taking a lot of medications, you may want to just get a higher deductible, and it'll keep your costs down for health insurance.
That's great. We already have $5,000 deductible, so
you could go down to $2,000 or $3,000 and have a lower deductible, cheaper insurance, and better health care. I thank you for your call tonight. All right, my next caller is Daniel. Go ahead.
Hello, good night, Jackie. Hi, this is Daniel and Sylvia. My question is, about public transportation in Panama. If you want to travel from one city to another, how easy is to get a bus, or if it's preferable to have a car?
No, public transport, you know, I have a car, and I like having a car because when I want to go, I just want to go. But public transportation is very, very good, and it's readily available. Just an example, to take the bus from Boquete to David or vice versa is only $1.75, and with a pensionado discount, it's $1.40. If you wanted to take the bus all the way from far western Panama, like David, into Panama City, it's $10.60. So it's not only super affordable, it's also very big, comfortable bus. Like the bus that goes into Panama City is a double-decker Mercedes bus with reclining seats, and they show a movie.
That sounds great. Yeah.
Okay.
Can I ask a very quick question?
Okay.
Yeah, how the houses are made of? Is like wood or is cement?
No, most houses are made out of cement block.
Okay.
Interior wall.
Yeah, because they have termites in Panama and they like to eat wood. So the houses are made out of cement block. The trusses are made out of metal. The only thing that's going to be wooden in the house are the doors and the cabinets. Which they will usually make out of a wood called cedro, which is a very hard wood and termite resistant.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for your call. Hey, folks, it's been 2 hours and 15 minutes on this call. If any of you need to leave, we are going to have the recording available later, but I'm going to keep on answering questions while you have them. So go ahead, next caller.
Thank you, Jackie, for taking my call and answering all these questions. You had mentioned about a community that's being built in Boquete, new houses that are around 50,000. My question is, once you've made the decision that you want to live wherever you're going to live, whether it's a Volcan or Boquete, and you want to purchase a home, do you have resources available as far as builders, reputable builders, et cetera?
I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's the only question I had.
Okay. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Next caller, go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Hey, I can.
This is Ted and Doris. We're currently booked for your October 9 to 16th tour.
I look forward to meeting you both.
Same here. But, you know, we hear everybody talking about the water is fine, but nobody seems to ever ask about the sanitation system, the sewer, you know, or garbage.
Well, sewer, everybody has a septic tank. So there isn't really one. You know, everybody
okay,
has
so
a septic tank at their house.
Everybody.
Yep.
Okay, so that's another expense to have that pumped out then.
It's about every 4 years you need to get it pumped out. It costs $150.
Okay, so I know that, like, we've been to Mexico and their sewer system is not that great there as far as odors go. So is it the same there? I mean, something that sits around for 4 years.
No, it's underneath the ground. It's in a big tank underneath the ground. You don't smell anything.
Okay, so the infrastructure is fine to support something like that.
Yes.
Okay. The other question that we had was that we are a couple, but we are not married.
Uh-huh.
So we would be separate visas.
You would have to get separate visas. Yeah, you have to show a certified marriage certificate to apply as a couple.
Yeah, right.
So that means more money.
Yeah, so that just means it's more expensive because it's less.
It's going to cost more money. Yep. You could always get married in Panama at the Notary Public office. And then you can apply for, yeah. So there you go.
There you go.
Save a little money. Cost about $50 to get married in Panama.
Cheap. Okay.
Well, we're, Jackie, we're both 70, coming 72. So as far as the pensionado, doesn't really matter as far as age goes. But anything else, there's a restriction to age, I suppose, as far as insurance and all that.
For international health insurance, they do have restrictions. Once you turn 74, they won't take you as a new client. But there's other insurances available in Panama that there's no age restriction at all. And that's what you would probably want to get, because if you're living in Panama, you'd want the Panama insurance with no age restriction. You probably either have Canadian insurance or Medicare in your country, so you wouldn't really need international. And if you are going to travel, you can always just get traveler's insurance.
Yes, okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling tonight. Okay, next caller, go right ahead. Hello?
Jack?
Next caller, 573. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Linda from Missouri. And I think
hey,
I know the answer.
Linda, hold on for 1 minute, just 1 second.
Okay.
Okay, area code 423. Hello? I didn't hear you for a minute, and then you were the next caller. Maybe your line is muted. Can you hear me? Unmute
yes,
your line, area code 423. Yeah, I know you were probably devastated. You waited so long, and then I cut you off, so I apologize for that.
That's fine. Actually, I've already answered my question. While I was listening, I went on the website and started scanning through a few articles of yours, excuse me, and kind of got my question answered. It was about the arrival day, you know, the itinerary, and I found the answer. So I don't want to take up any more of your time.
Okay, thanks for calling in tonight.
All right, dear. Thank you.
Okay, Linda, go right ahead. Let me unmute you. Hold on. Okay. Now it's your turn, Linda. Sorry to interrupt you. It's just, I said, hello, hello, and then just as I pushed the next button, I could hear him say something. I didn't want to. He'd waited so long to ask a question. I wanted to give him his opportunity. Now it's your turn.
Okay. I think I know the answer, but my brother wants me to confirm it. Are we allowed to bring or ship firearms down when we move?
So whenever we had our previous president, Juan Carlos Varela, foreigners were allowed to bring in 3 firearms per person into the country, but they were held in quarantine until you got your gun permit. You couldn't get a gun permit until you got your permanent visa. In July of this year, we switched to a new president. They change presidents here every 5 years. And under our new president, he put a ban on bringing firearms into the country. However, just last week, they lifted the ban, so now you can bring firearms into the country, but they haven't written the rules yet, so I don't know yet if it's going to be 1 gun, 2 guns, 3 guns, 5 guns, what restrictions there's going to be on what you're going to be. Probably by the end of by early February, I'll know what those rules are, and then I'll write an article about, you know, rules for bringing guns into Panama, which will apply only for the current president that we have. When we get a new president, they might change the rules again. So they did lift the ban, but I don't know what the rules are on, you know, handguns, rifles. I don't know what the rules are yet, and neither does anybody else until they write them.
Okay, gotcha. That's actually my brother. You know, he's from the Ozarks. He has to have a gun. It's just part of the makeup, so I will let him know. Okay,
thank
you.
Next caller, go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. It's Marn and Debbie. We sure enjoyed our April tour, and now we're going to be neighbors. One quick question. I have my Panama driver's license, but Debbie's going to need to get hers. Can she do that wholly in David, or does some part of it have to happen in Panama City?
So you've got two choices, Marn. And by the way, it's good talking to both of you, and it's going to be great to have you as my neighbor.
Indeedy.
So you've got two choices. The quick and easy way to get your Panama driver's license is to go to Panama City and get your current license authenticated at the U.S. Embassy. And that's what you did, and that's what she would have to do. And then it would have to be re-authenticated by the Ministry of Foreign Relations. That's the only stuff you have to do in Panama City. You can do it in half a day. Everything else can be done in David, which would be your blood test, and going to the Department of Motor Vehicles and doing the vision test and the hearing test, then she could get her license. So that would require something in Panama City. If she wanted to completely and totally avoid Panama City, there is a plan B, but it's a little bit more complicated. She would have to pay the $70 to go to a driving school, which you don't really go. They just give you a certificate that said you went, and then they give you the test questions. You have to take a test, a driving test, a written test, and an actual driving a car test. And so you have to take a test, and they have it in English. The driving school provides you with all the questions and the answers. And if you go to our alumni page, I have them right on there with the correct answer highlighted.
Okay.
And so then she could bypass it. So you pay $70 to the driving school. You take the test. I think you have to get like a 70 on the test. You have to be able to pull a car in and back a car in to a parking slot, and then you can do the hearing test, the vision test, do the whole thing in David.
Great. Okay. Thank you very much, and we'll see you soon.
Can I drive?
Wait. Debbie has a question.
Can I drive?
Okay.
Oh, Debbie's question is, we have our schedulers. Can she drive until she gets her Panama license?
Well, this is legally, no. But this is what can happen is hide the cedula, hide the visa, keep your passport with you, and when you get there, you can drive for 90 days on your U.S. passport and your U.S. driver's license. So if you should happen to get pulled over at one of those immigration checkpoints, do not, under any circumstances, show them your visa or your cedula. Just show them your passport. Make sure you have the entry stamp that shows you how long you've been here, and show them your U.S. driver's license. That'll give you 90 days to be able to drive. But don't show them your visa. Don't show them the cedula. Even though you're proud of it and you want to show it to everybody, don't show it if you get pulled over.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much. Enjoy the call, and we will stay on and listen. And see you soon.
All right. Thanks. Next caller, go right ahead.
Yeah, hi, Jackie. This is Tom and Betty from now Plano, Texas. And we're coming down in March. So we're looking forward to seeing you pretty soon. Talking about opening a bank account while we're there and you need $1,500, I remember hearing something about not carrying around large denominations of currency. So if I kept the 10s and 20s, I'd have to take a lot of paper to open a bank account. Or can I take bigger bills?
For the bank account, you can do $100 bills, no problem.
Good. Excellent. Okay, well, one of the other reasons I waited so long is that I couldn't wait to tell somebody I was going to be on the March tour. So we're
there
excited.
You go. And congratulations. I look forward to meeting you.
And you. Thank you very much, Jackie. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Next caller, go ahead.
Throw that contract up your fucking butt and rotate.
Wow.
Next caller, code 706, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Warren, and I'm just wanting some further clarification on the process of getting the pensionado visa. I'd like to do that on the tour or at the end of the tour.
You'd have to do it either before the tour or after the tour. It'd be an additional 5 to 7 days in the country. So the process is, first of all, the attorney would give you a list of documents that you need to gather up, which will include You're going to need the National Criminal Report. Are you from the United States or Canada?
U.S.
Okay, so you'll need the FBI report, National Criminal
right.
Report, and that needs to be apostilled or authenticated. Apostille is through the federal State Department, and authentication would come through the Panamanian consulate somewhere in the United States. So you need that document first and foremost. The other thing you'll need is your Social Security or a pension letter or government pension retirement pay that shows that you make at least $1,000 a month. Those are the two main documents that you're going to need.
And do I prepare those in the month before coming and bring them with me?
When you get the documents together, they're good for 6 months. So you want to do it, you know, like you want to make sure you have everything before you come on the tour. So you might want to start a couple months in advance. So you get the documents, you have an appointment with the attorney that you're going to come in right after the tour to get everything started on your visa. And we do work with an attorney in David, which is a little bit faster than the attorneys in Panama City because the immigration office might have 20 people in it, whereas the immigration office in Panama City might have 500 people in it. So you can get in and out faster in David.
Okay, I would do that, and then I have to stay for 5 days, right?
Right, and the reason it's 5 days is your attorney initially, they will turn in everything that you want to scan everything and email it to your attorney so that they can get all your documents translated into Spanish before you arrive, and that'll help expedite the process. And then the first time that you go to immigration, they're going to just submit the documents that we would like to apply for a visa. And then the next day you go and actually apply for the visa, and you get your temporary card. But there's one more step that's extremely important when you get that temporary visa if you're not planning to stay in the country. And that is to get what's called a multi-entry stamp. So you have
yes,
to, your attorney will help you with the whole thing. Yeah, so you're going to turn in your passport. They'll put a big stamp on the back of it, and that allows you to come and go and come and go out of Panama while you're in that time frame between getting your temporary visa and getting your permanent visa. Failure to get that multi-entry stamp and wanting to leave the country, there's a $2,000 fine. So that's what takes the extra time, is getting that multi-entry stamp.
Well, how do I arrange for an attorney before I come?
What 30 days before your tour, once you've made your final payment, then we'll send you attorney recommendations, and you just need to contact them and set up an appointment.
And do I make my own travel arrangements from David after the 5 days back to Panama City?
No, that's included in the tour. Your flight from David back to Panama City, it's a flight, is included in the tour. You just tell us what day you want to fly back, and you get the morning flight or the afternoon flight. It's all included.
Okay, I thought it had to be on the end of the tour, but it can be after the 5 days.
Oh, yeah, it can be after the 5 days. Some people do it, you know, a month later or 2 months later. No problem. We still pay for a flight back.
Okay, great. You've been very helpful. I'll see you in May.
I look forward to meeting you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Next caller.
Hey,
go
Jackie,
right ahead.
It's Howard Keller.
Hey, Howard, how are you?
I'm doing good. I was on your tour a year ago, almost today. So
wow.
I got all my stuff in order. All I got to do is get it apostilled. And the Chandler that's handling that said that they could do the translation if I wished. Would that be to my advantage,
No. Panama will not accept it. It has to be a licensed Panamanian translator that does the translation. So if you got it translated there, it's a waste of money.
Well, aren't I glad that I listened in on the call and waited 2.5 hours to ask that?
I'm so sorry. You know,
you could have
sent me an email also.
Well, yeah, but I'm not real good with anything but my phone. So
yeah, but then you get to learn all this other stuff on the call too.
Yeah, I did. One other thing I did want to mention is stay out of Whole Foods. They cost way too much.
Oh, my gosh. I was shocked. I got this little bitty bag of oranges, and it was $7. The same thing as $1.99 in Panama. $7.
I saw
it's
that
crazy.
Post on Facebook. I thought it was funny.
Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh. And, you know, I got like two little bags, and it was $150. It was crazy. That would have been $20 in Panama.
When you had said about, you know, maybe Amazon will open up one down there, and I thought, no, they'll just run up the prices on everything.
Yeah, that's true. They probably would, but would anyway, it would be nice.
All right, well,
but
I'm to be down
perfectly happy with
everywhere.
The stores that we have, and I'd rather go to the farmer's market to get my produce anyway.
Absolutely. I had a great time at the farmer's market when I was there. But I plan to be there the middle of February, and I'll be hounding people for a place to live after I get there. So I'm ready.
Well, all right, sounds good. Thanks. Next caller, go right ahead.
Hi, I was curious about the $5,000 that you have to have in a bank account. Is that just for like 6 months, or is that just that's
no.
all they require to arrive?
That's only if you're going to get a friendly nation visa. If you're getting any other visa, the pensionado visa, you don't need it. Only for the friendly nation visa, and it needs to stay in there for about a week.
Okay. So if you're planning to move there, but and you don't have Social Security, like I'm not old enough yet. That's all they require is the $5,000, or because I'm a little confused as to which way you go, how you know which way to go.
No, for the friendly nation visa is the ideal visa to get for people that do not have a pension or Social Security yet. The only requirements for the Friendly Nation, they have no monthly income requirements for the Friendly Nation visa, but their requirements are you're going to need the National Criminal Report, you'll have to have a Panama bank account with $5,000 in it, and you'll need to set up a Panama corporation. So those are their requirements. It'll take about 5 days to get your visa. Once you get it, you can start spending the $5,000. If you don't need the corporation for anything, if you're not planning to do a business, after you get your permanent visa, you can sell it. Or you can just cancel it, but so you don't have any renewal fees.
Oh, okay, great. All right, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Next caller, go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. Thank you for taking my call. I am 67 in Ohio and drawing a Social Security retirement pension. I am kind of new, early in the process, and I have narrowed my country down. And by the way, my time frame is in about a year. That's when I would like to move out of Ohio. I've narrowed my country down to about 5 or 6, mostly in Central America, a couple in Europe, but was wondering. With all the information available, I understand pro Panama. With all the information available, is there kind of a central source where I can go to help narrow down the choice from the 5 or 6 countries that I'm currently looking at down to 1 or 2? And
No, I don't know of any one source, but I can tell you that whenever I was doing my research about moving to another country, I had about 10 countries picked out that I wanted to move to. So initially, I was just looking at a lot of, you know, I would look at worldbank.org and get information about the economy and other things. But I also looked at, I wanted to know about the government. How strong is the government? You know, is it leaning, you know, one direction or the other? Is it stable? You need to find out about the economy. How strong is the economy? Because if they're having financial problems, that's not a good place to be moving to a country that's having financial problems. Also, do some searches about what is the unemployment rate in the country. If the unemployment rate is high, like it is in Costa Rica and Spain and Portugal, then that's going to increase crime. So there's not one-stop shop. There's a lot of different things that you need to research. but it's not just how cheap it is. It's not how pretty the beach is and not how pretty the mountain towns are. Those are all important. But I honestly think that the strength of the government, strength of the economy, unemployment rate, and their food source, those are all things that you need to check out.
Unfortunately, you mentioned two of the countries that I was looking at being Costa Rica and Portugal, as well as Panama. So, but
yeah.
Thank you for that.
Okay, thank you for calling in. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 more people, then I got to call it a night. This is going to be a 3-hour call, I'm afraid. Okay, next caller, go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. I'm calling from Ohio, and I'm scheduled for your May tour. Quick question. Besides Panama City, what other areas have high-rise apartment buildings that are fairly nice?
Coronado. The Coronado area. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I know it's supposed to be one question, but I'll try to slip another one in. For the Pensionado visa, how much is it for a single person?
It depends on which attorney you use. The cost is approximately $1,500.
Okay. Thank you. See you in May.
All right. Look forward to meeting you. Next caller, go ahead.
Do you have any tips for, like, college in Panama? Because I have two kids that are going to be ready for college, and I just
Florida
I don't have
State
any.
Florida State University is in Panama City. It's $8,000 a year for a non-Panamanian to go there. They have 4-year programs. Louisville, Kentucky also has colleges in Panama, and they even have an MBA program, a fast-track MBA program. But I would check out the Florida State University in Panama City.
Okay. All righty. That gets me started.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Next question. Go right ahead.
Yes. Hello. This is Julia. And I just had a really quick question just to clarify if I believe it's called the, not the Pensionado visa, but the
Friendly Nation visa.
It sounded like if you are approved for that, then when you turn 55 as a woman, you will be able to get the Jubilados discounts?
That's correct.
Correct? Okay. That's the only clarification I had. Thank you very much. I'm looking at the November trip, so I might meet you there.
Okay. I look forward to meeting you.
I'm the one who asked about horses. I'm
okay.
Julia.
Yeah, Julia. I don't know if you got the email that I sent, but the I know several people that have moved their horses here, and they're glad to answer questions, but it's getting to where it's like more and more people want to bring their horses. So one of the guys, his name is Klein. I sent him a Facebook message, and I said, Klein, can we just come over to your house and we'll do a video about moving here and with your horse? Because he brought, I think, 3 horses, a Shetland pony, 3 dogs, and 2 cats. And then, he has his horses out on a pasture. So I said, let's just do a video about it. And so every time somebody says, tell me about bringing my horse here, I could say, look at this video. And he'll have the cost and who he used and how he did it. So my videographer is going over there on Tuesday to do that video. We're also going to go out to the pasture so you can see his horses.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, and if the question can definitely be asked about, I've done a little research about how difficult it is getting feed, obviously, farrier and vets.
No, it's no problem. He's going to talk about all that on the video.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, one more caller. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. I have a question about the discounts. I am applying for my Friendly Nations visa, and I will soon be 55. Is the discount only applies to myself, or if I buy airline tickets for me and my spouse, do I get the discount on both?
Nope, only for you, for airline tickets.
Oh, okay, only for me, and then he qualifies for his then, I guess.
That's right. Unless he got the pensionado visa with you as a couple, and he had the visa that was a pensionado visa, then he can still get the discounts. If you get the pensionado visa, there's not an age requirement. There's only an age requirement with a friendly nation visa.
Oh, okay. But then, I'll get the discount sooner with the friendly nations visa than if I go the other way.
With a pensionado visa, you just have to prove that lifetime income for a couple of $1,250, then you could be 40 years old and still get all the discounts.
Right, yeah, I won't have that until, you know, later on, so I figured this way was sooner. All right, yeah, I just thought I could do it as a couple. Okay.
Then the friendly nation visa will be the way to go.
Okay. All right, thank you very much. Okay.
So we had one more person that called in. I'm going to let you go ahead and ask your question, and then I'm going to call it a night. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Hi, Jackie. Hi, Becky. Can you hear me?
Yes.
It's Marianne. Yeah, I was on for 2.5 hours, and I had to go grab something to eat, so I got back on again.
Me too. I'm starving.
I thought I heard you munching. Anyway, I'm glad that your retinas on your eyes came out well for you. That's really good news. I have had a couple of retinal tears, so I go every 6 months to a retina doctor. So my question was, what city would someone like that be available in Panama?
Panama City and David.
David, too. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good.
All right.
Well, that's good news. And you have perfect vision now, huh?
Perfect vision. No glasses, no contacts, no readers.
Oh, that's great. Good. Well,
I see.
Well, thank you so much.
And yep. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and thanks for all your help. Okay.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
So, boy, this has been a long phone call. I want to thank everybody for being on the call tonight. Gosh, I don't know how many people that we've had on the call, but it's a lot of people. Thank you for all of your questions. I'm sorry that the call lasted so long, but, you know, if you've got questions, I'm here to answer them for you. So I hope you learned a lot tonight just from the information on this call. And I really, if you haven't already signed up for a tour, I encourage you to check out www.PanamaRelocationTours. Just click on the Tours tab at the top, and it has more detailed information about our 6-day, 7-night all-inclusive tour throughout Panama. We'll introduce you to the places that are most popular for people to move to, and also teach you all the things you need to know, even more than what you learned tonight, but more detail and more things on what you need to know to relocate to Panama, the smooth and easy way to reduce your stress. As someone said on the call, we take the scary out of moving to Panama. We make it easy and fun and something that you're saying, wow, I can't wait to do it once you've taken the tour. Did you know that right now, about 65% of the people that take our tour move to Panama within 6 months. So once they're armed with all the information that they need, they just can't wait to get there. And we're just building this wonderful synergy and network of people in Panama. So thanks again for being on the call. We'll do this again next month in February. Good night, everybody.